And I was looking at the plans from planning and zoning and couldn't figure it out either.
Eric was trying to explain it to me and I wasn't following.
It is 6 o'clock, so we will go ahead and get started. We'll call the Monday, August 15th Mayor and Council workshop to order. First, we have public comment. So if you would like to make a public comment, you can step up to the podium, state your name and your residence address, and speak about what you would like to speak about.
John, go ahead.
Before we come in?
Oh, no, you guys are next, after public comment.
Gotcha.
You guys have your own agenda item. I know. Okay, seeing none, there's nobody online. Next, we have the presentation from the Fettlesburg Economic Development Commission. So now you're up.
Yeah, thank you, definitely. We appreciate the opportunity to come before the Mayor and Council tonight. It's been a couple of years. I think I'll start by introducing our members again, since I don't know that we've met since Rob's been on board or Larry, either one. So we've got Mickey Fluharty down here to the left, Frank Adams, Delphi McConnell, myself, John Phillips, and Denise Coppett, who couldn't be with us tonight. So those are our five members of the Fettlesburg Economic Development Commission. What we wanted to talk about primarily was just to sort of get an update on where things were with specifically on AquaCon. You know, most of us, I think all of us here from the group were at the hearing the other night, so we heard that side of things. But I just wanted to see where the project stood in regards to the, you know, the permit side of things, but also beyond the permit, you know, where the project stands. And then if we still have some time left, you know, just what other economic development items you guys have been working on that's happening in town that we could talk about. But we put together, we met Friday morning and just put together some questions specifically about AquaCon, questions/comments we thought we'd share with you. And I'll leave this with you. But, you know, one of the things, I guess, starting on the environmental permits are, because that's the thing that was freshest on everybody's mind from the other night. But, you know, Scott made a point where we were talking afterwards, and I looked it up, and right in that Department of Environment handout from the other night, it says in there that the law does not provide for denial of application unless there's no possibility that the applicant can comply with the proposed permit. So it seems like, you know, as much outcry as there were from local residents, that as long as they can, being AquaCon, can meet the predetermined levels of the permit as far as what's being discharged, and those levels are either at or below the current levels that already exist in the river, that the MDE probably doesn't have any basis for denying the permit. I didn't know if we didn't know if you all understand it that way, or if you've had contacts with anybody at MDE has been telling you anything differently, or do you really expect the answer?
That's kind of what I got from that, and from what that gentleman stated.
Yeah.
That was kind of the impression that I got. But as long as AquaCon can meet the demands that are specified, then they would probably grant the permit. But the first time we had the conversation with MDE, at least I have, or most of us that were at the meeting, was what that gentleman had said.
Okay.
Larry has, what do you have, monthly meetings with that group? But generally, MDE is not on there?
MDE is not on there. It's the county. It's either Mr. Showalter or Mr. Rao or both, and members of the county. Elected, not elected group, county staff. That's a monthly second Friday, first Friday of the month. Just a phone call.
So I guess that sort of answers, you know, part of what our second question was. We didn't know if you all had been communicating regularly at this point with NDA and sort of had a bearing on some of these other questions that, you know, that were raised the other night that a lot of people have, or if, again, you were hearing most of that stuff for the first time the other night, it sounds like. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, some of our questions were, you know, what the potential long-term impact of drawing 2.3 million gallons per day of water out of the ground, discharging 2.3 million into the creek. Even if we were just to, you know, given the fact that they were going to be able to meet all their treatment levels, just that volume of water is what we're concerned about every day, 365 days a year, for as long as that plant runs there, you know, what kind of impact that has, pulling that much water out of it, ground and discharging it into such a small creek. You know, is it going to cause any problems with drinking water with residents out in that area with shallow wells, with farmers running irrigation? Is it going to affect, you know, the level of the water in the creek over time? I mean, is it going to permanently be 6, 8, 12 inches higher because of that volume of water going into such a shallow, narrow creek. You know, we would hope that there's somebody at MDE that could, you know, provide these kind of answers, even if they approve the permit, you know, and you guys as leaders and, you know, the community in general of Fettlesburg, you know, had the opportunity to have their say the other night and submit comments up until October 17th or whatever, but even if it's going to get approved, you know, for everybody's comfort level, I would think we would be well served to press MDE for some of those answers.
I mean, I would also like to get more information as far as, we know where our town draws from, we know what our aquifer we pull from, and it's not the same aquifers, and there's quite a distance between the two. I don't know as far as the farms that are up there. Generally, if somebody gets a well on the farm up there, I don't know what aquifer that hits, and if that's a completely different aquifer also.
How much deeper are they going with their aquifer than you're going, or we're going with our my deep well I have home, you know?
I think they said, 1,500?
Yeah.
I know there were several aquifers under there to start off with. But,
everything from 1,600 to 6,000?
Yeah, they were hitting the Patapsco aquifer was the one that they were trying to start drawing from, was that one.
And how far in the water, or how far to ground?
1,600 feet.
That's where they've at least started, because they had to send soil samples. They were sending soil samples to Maryland for the geological survey. Whatever they were pulling out of the well, they were sending for soil samples, since they were down that far.
We've got a lot of homes that it doesn't take much to flood them. You know, they're flooded sometimes once a year here in town with just rainwater or whatever we have. And if this 2.3 million gallons of water dumping there day after day after day, if it raises the depth of the water in the creek, they're going to be flooded out and going to sell their home or do something. You know, I don't know. That's a big concern that we have. You know, it's something that needs to be thought about. So.
And to that end, the 2.3 million, that's makeup water is all that is. They call it purge water. And they reference it in the article to anywhere from 1% to 5%. If it's 5%, that's a total of 46 million gallons of water that are on property in transit, not the 2.3. If it's 1%,
right,
which I'm not sure that you need to get to 1%, it's 233 million gallons of water. And if the operation stopped, it's got to go somewhere. It's got to go somewhere fast. Not at 2 million gallons a day. It's going to go faster than that, if it's even possible.
Right.
I don't believe the 1%, because you get more than 1% evaporation. I'm a little skeptical of the 5%. It's a big number either way. I mean, 2 million sounds like a lot, but 233 million gallons on premise is even scarier.
I agree. I have a hard time comprehending 2.3 million.
The Cordova plant in Alice plant in Cordova, they bought it for the wastewater plant for their process. That wastewater plant's one of the largest poultry plants here. It's only capable of doing 200,000 gallons a day. That's the max it can handle. And one of the downfalls they had in Cordova was they were dumping salt water into a freshwater creek. And Moorship is also a freshwater creek. Now, can they take the salt out of the water? Yes, they can. It's an extremely expensive process, especially 2 million gallons a day. But if they have to dump 233 million gallons in a day, they're not going to be able to do it.
Right.
They can't desalinify that much water that fast.
Was there salt water in that purge tank?
They said there should be not a lot of it. I mean, there's an expectation of this.
Doesn't matter how much it is. Salt water hits that stream, kills everything there.
Yeah, and we also have to take that into consideration, that small amount of process water that's going through the wastewater plant. Which is
it's not a small amount of water.
60,000 gallons a day is what they're telling us. Last year they told us about 70,000 gallons.
Where do they think the 2.3 million is going?
That's going to go direct.
It's going direct. It's not going through the wastewater treatment plant.
They're filtering it, and then they're going to run it down a pipe.
That's the plan.
That's the plan, but again, the plan could change.
That question was asked the other night. Still going through the process, not just running out of a well and crushed water down.
No, they have to process. They have to clean all that. They have to clean all of that. So, I mean, they haven't even...
What do you do with the solids? And on top of that, what do you do with the stock?
Oh, they are using that for fertilizer, I believe. From what we've seen, we were told that they were using, that was going to be extracted out and used for fertilizer. Because fish poop is very good. I mean, that they use that a lot for fertilizer. So, I mean, literally what was presented the other night was kind of what we've received. The only thing that they've asked us to do was annex the property into the town and grant them a right-of-way off of the circle through the industrial park so that they didn't have to use Wright's Road for general traffic coming into the building. But the rest of it, we've seen a presentation, and then we got a presentation like a couple months later, and it was slightly different. So I think they're still working through a lot of the details to address some of the questions that you've asked.
So beyond the environmental concerns or the permit process, you know, I guess I'll read from this. So beyond the permit and environmental considerations is the fact that it's a new company and a new industry proposing to build one of the largest buildings in the state, approximately 1.1 million square feet under roof. Certainly if it's built, everyone hopes that it'll be successful. But unfortunately, only about half of new businesses succeed in the first 5 years. With the indoor salmon farming industry being so young, the proposed technology relatively new and unproven, or still being proven, you know, we would expect that success rate could even be less than 50%, you know, which raises several other questions. You know, what happens if they shut the project, you know, in the worst case scenario? You hear about this thing on the news happening across the country at times where, you know, they just run off in the middle of the night, they shut the project down, and you've got it sitting, you know, they get behind somewhere and they just pull the plug on it. And you've got, you know, it sounds far-fetched, but you know, you've got a facility full of dead fish and you know, odor and effort that has to be taken care of. So what kind of protections, you know, we think it'd be important to figure out what kind of protections the town could put in advance, you know, with some kind of arrangement in regards to that. You know, second, but not quite as serious, but even if they make the decision to shut down and cease operations with some kind of orderly shutdown, you know, over time, you've still got, you know, a responsibility there to protect the environment in the process. You know, how are they going to handle the fish that are there? How are they going to handle the 46 million or 200 million or whatever the number of million gallons that are sitting on site being processed? We think it would be, you know, adequate to have some kind of insurances there. And then thirdly, you know, in the event of the shutdown, there is a shutdown and it goes well and no environmental issues, you know, we've still got the question of, you know, that was raised by a couple people the other night of, you know, having a very large, very specialized building sitting out there with, you know, that's going to be very difficult to convert into any kind of usable or marketable space because of the type of the building it is. You know, that's another consideration.
Yeah, I think it'd be the hardest building you could ever find to try to sell or find a company to come in because they're only going to hire, we say, 100, 150 people. But a building that size could handle how many people? You know,
it's about the size of an Amazon warehouse. I don't know if you've seen the one up 301, but the Amazon warehouses are bigger than this building.
Bigger than a million square feet?
They're huge. If you've ever seen the Amazon buildings that are up, there's a big one up off of 301, and then there is...
In Northeast?
Yes, there is a Lidl, I think it's Lidl, up in Northeast. There is a Lidl warehouse also. That is comparable to this size also.
I got information over the computer that this would be the largest building, largest commercial building in Maryland.
Yeah, the other thing, other than just the size, I mean, a lot of those other ones that we're talking about are distribution centers, so they're a lot easier to work with, subdivide, to remarket, you know, to repurpose. But this is going to have all these specialized tanks.
Yeah, you don't know what kind of
whatever else. It's going to be a tough one.
Kind of specialized equipment they have in there, overhead cranes or whatever to move stuff, or, you know, I don't know. Are the tanks going to be something they haul in there and just put it in place, or is something going to be built in there?
I don't know. We haven't got that word yet. Part of the discussion was fiberglass. Part of the discussion was concrete tanks.
Yeah, we'll see if they put concrete tanks there and build them, and you've got to bust them up, I guess.
That's correct. You would have a more specific. But, I mean, the craft building that just got sold... the company just took, they just took all the ovens out. They're trying to sell off, actually, they're trying to sell oven equipment. If you know anybody that wants giant commercial ovens from the craft building, they're looking to sell giant ovens out of the craft building.
And try to subdivide it would be a problem, too, because you'd have to have room for offices, bathrooms, especially in the concrete floor when we were putting up these shell buildings, we didn't put a concrete floor in because every business has a different need. You know, some of them don't have much of a need and some of them have a massive need. Some of them have to have a pit in there or a dip in it or whatever. But that would all have to be done to subdivide it and put something in there. And that's another problem, you know, that kind of scares me if they come here and they don't make it and we're stuck with it, you know, so... Not that we were stuck with it financially.
Well, that's what my question is, because technically we're not stuck with it. The town is giving them no money, and we're not putting any investment into it.
We're stuck with it trying to get people in here and get it moving. I mean, that's we were only stuck with the shell buildings we put up, and we did lose money on one building, but we had money in two, and the guy that built it, he skipped town, and he didn't pay his subcontractors, and the town had to go in and pay the subcontractor. We don't want that to happen again either. So,
well, part of the discussion was maybe. I mean, I like the idea of having them. They have to put up a bond if something goes south, then they have to put up. They had a bond that would take care of some of that, maybe for retrofitting the building so that it could be sold.
A close friend of mine lives in Florida. I called him, and he's been a manager of towns in Pennsylvania and also in Maryland. He's retired now. And I had him, you know, talk with him at some length. He sent me some information. But he said if you allow them to come, that you should have a bond that's equal to 50% of what their building cost is. At least 50%. 75% would be better. Have you talked about that, getting a bond with them? To that amount?
No, because we don't even really know what they're... I mean, we truly don't... I mean, they brought a small kind of for planning and zoning, but, I mean, that might have changed by now. So I can imagine once we get an idea of what their cost of their building would be, then we could request that be looked into.
Can we rest assured you'll make them get a bond before you settle on it?
Well, so the problem is that we don't have... I can't tell you what you can or cannot do with your business. I can't tell them. We can ask them for the bond, but I mean, if you went and bought the craft building and you wanted to do something with it, I can't. I can only regulate by ordinance what you're allowed, what you can and cannot do there. I can't tell you, you can't open a certain business. So, I mean, I don't know. We can certainly ask them if we could get a bond, but I don't know. And maybe our attorney's online. Maybe Lindsay can ask or answer. You know how that would work. For the guarantees that if things were to go south, how would the town be, you know, covered as far as damages?
Yeah, so as part of their development, they will have to get a public works agreement, especially considering connection to town facilities. So as part of that public works agreement or a further development agreement, you would require them to have bonds.
Okay. So that would be the way that we would be able to approach that. I mean, I think that would be smart on our part, but that would be up for all of our discussion. But I think that would be smart on the town's part to try to get some kind of coverage out of that just to be safe.
I should probably step back just a second because I don't want to give you the impression that you know, we're unanimously opposed to the Aquacom project. You know, it's just an extremely large project with a lot of uncertainty and a lot of unknowns, and we just want to make sure that, you know, we all, you know, have an opportunity to think as much about it in advance and get the questions answered as we can to make sure if it does come that, you know, it's going to be successful for the town. So that's all we're
we appreciate that, because you guys think of things, or everybody up here thinks of things that, you know, we didn't think to ask, or that, you know, there was something up in the meeting and I thought, oh, we should be asking that, or we should double check that. So I think the more eyes that, you know, can look at it or, you know, comment on it, you know, the better it helps us give a full perspective and a whole picture look at it, as opposed to just this myopic picture of, you know, the one little thing where it's the whole big picture.
One other thing that we wanted to suggest, just because it's something that, you know, we as economic development or the town as previous mayors, town managers, whoever have done on other it seems like, and we're just getting this from what we read in the paper, basically, like a lot of people, but according to that article that I think it was Shore Riverkeepers put in the Star Democrat, that there's only one other facility in the U.S. that's currently operating in comparable size and scope to what AquaCon wants to propose to put here, and that's a plant in Miami, Florida that opened in 2020. You know, we feel it would be important to have some level of comfort about how that project works, you know, a similar facility in size, and how those communities feel about that plant as a neighbor, you know, now that it's been there a couple of years. You know, what we've done in the past is reached out to, you know, the city, or the, Miami's a big city, reach out to the city, the county, you know, whatever precinct that plant's running in, you know, try to reach your counterparts down there and just ask questions. We've always found those other communities to be extremely helpful when you tell them what you're after, you know. And, you know, you can get some local feedback as to how they feel about that plant, you know, if there's any issues, if they think they're a great neighbor, if they, you know, they're glad they're there, you know, or wish they hadn't come, or anything in between, just things to be forewarned about. You know, we've also gone on plant tours before on something this significant where, you know, you get an opportunity to go down and actually lay your eyes and give it the sight and the smell test. You know, you hear people mention it. Mm-hmm. There's going to be an odor of this plant.
Right.
A lot of that stuff you don't know till you can actually get on site. So getting a chance for somebody or a few folks to go down at some point and tour that facility, I think could be prudent.
Did Paul used to work for that group, the one of the AquaCon executives?
Which group?
The one out of Miami? People. Yeah.
I don't know who the Scandinavian owner is of that, but I believe there was a connection, I think maybe more on technical people, because it's a recirculating aquaculture center.
Right.
But I don't know that. I don't know total recall. It might have been one of the staff engineer folks. But they do have some experience. I mean, if you look at the AquaCon leadership roster, you got some technical people, you got some aquatic people, and you got some financial people. So it's enough of a mix to try and get a $500 million project going. The plant in Florida is well known for the problems it's had. It's had die-offs. And the Aqua Bounty group, I've been following the Aqua Bounty stock price, and its precipitous fall for the last 2 years, and you can look that up. That's not disparaging anyone. $1.60 a share, ballpark. This is a group that's trying to develop a plant about half this size in Ohio. I'm not spoken with them. The direct, or at least AquaCon's application to the direct group, is this one out of Belfast, Maine, which is using the Penobscot Bay, I guess it is, as their discharge. Now, Penobscot Bay and Marquito Creek. it's a decidedly different environment in which to dump millions of gallons of processed water every day. So I call them. I actually have a relationship with Belfast, Maine, from another part of my life relative to a harbor marina group that I don't want to get into, but I'm familiar with Belfast, Maine. And I talked to their staff up there. I left a message with their manager, and she hasn't called it back. But I did talk to their staff, and that project hasn't started yet. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure how long they've been in the plan approval and waiting stage. It's all public record. Belfast, Maine is a town of about 7,000 people, professional staff, and it's a real run place. But I haven't had a chance to get into those kind of in-depth conversations about, you know, what do you know, what the reaction was. My understanding is that plant wasn't appreciated by everyone either. So, right now they've got something on the drawing board. We've got less than a drawing board. And that's where we are, at least with those two. And again, I keep watching the Aqua Bounty group because, again, that was it's not nothing to do with water discharge, so it really shouldn't have come up in an MDE permit discussion or hearing. But that group's, you know, they talked about this, you know, due to his customer base out there. Well, if you look at stock price,
you know, $4 2 years ago, $2 a year ago, $1.70, $1.60, $1.40, things up to $1.50. And it hasn't gone above the $2 mark, you know, checking on your phone. Aqua Bounty is what it is, not even $2 a share. Again, it's state of the art, and it's a lot of the same, I've shared with them, it's a lot of the same language that you're seeing from Aqua Bounty, you see from AquaCon. And Aqua Bounty, I know, is tied to a, it's a subsidiary related to a genetic group out of Massachusetts. So they may be more into the fish science than the actual generation enough of these things for consumption. Because that's really the AquaCon pitch here, is that this is going to be, there's a market, there's demand for it, we can produce a lot and feed that domestic market along the I-95 corridor.
What if that Aqua Bounty's evaluation is related to some environmental issues or plant problems they've had in the plant, or do you think it's their market isn't as strong as what they projected?
Yeah, well, I believe they either scaled down the size of the plant or they scaled down the amount of the tonnage of fish they were going to produce. But it's less than AquaCon. It's yeah. Like not 8 or 9,000 metric tons.
Yeah, that was sort of.
So roughly. Yeah.
So is AquaCon going to be publicly traded too?
Good question. I don't believe they are now. off the top of my head, I don't recall looking for them. I recall looking for Aqua Bounty, but I don't recall looking for them.
Yeah, that was. We only have a couple more comment questions here. That was leading into our next one was, can AquaCon, you know, give us any referrals from other plants, not necessarily as large as they're going to be, but like the one Larry mentions, are there other land-based salmon farms that might be half that size or a third that size that have been operating successfully that you can at least gauge some kind of metric from? And then the second part is, you know, the town's in a position to, you know, put the responsibility on AquaCon to help address and alleviate all these unknowns and concerns that exist. I mean, it's to their benefit. I mean, anywhere they try to go to put this first plant, whether it's Reynoldsburg, whether it's somewhere else in Maryland, or it's somewhere else up and down the East Coast, they're going to have all these same objections wherever they go. So, you know, sooner or later, you know, they're going to have to. It's in their best interest to help answer these questions, to help you guys answer these same questions from everybody you run into around town. I don't think putting pressure on them to help you help them, so to speak, is, you know, is...
The FAQ they handed out were questions that came from us and the questions we're getting. Yeah. And we're like, you guys need to help us help you. We need the data. We need the information. We need the details. We need to know what the building looks like. We need to know... And like I said, we saw one iteration and then it changed again. So I think they're still trying to kind of figure it out as far as nailing down exactly what they're going to need to do to make themselves be successful. Because I was talking to somebody at the meeting the other night and they said the reason it has to be this scale is that if it's not the scale to produce this amount of fish, they won't be able to make any money. It won't be sustainable to have the sustainable fish if it's not a certain size. To be able, because I mean, when you take,
I find that hard to believe, considering there's numerous.
Well, when you take
smaller,
a large fish,
yeah,
like
but
when
there's smaller operations all over the U.S. other than what we have,
right.
Than what they're proposing, I can't believe they're all sitting there losing money.
Are they salmon though?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. The salmon industry in the U.S. used to be raised in pens, in like a river in the bay. They would put pens in there and put the fish in there. And that's how they raise the salmon. They still do Washington, Maine, all up in Canada. A lot of that is being cut back because when you have all those fish with all their, you know, all the waste going flowing right in, and there's no way to process any of that. So the big thing is to get out of the pens and move to inside. So they are smaller ones. This technology is new. I don't know necessarily... This size, I would say there's probably not one this size anywhere. There is some over in Sweden that I've read about that use some of this technology, maybe not everything they want to use. So there is some use of this technology. It's not 100% brand new. It has been tweaked. And I know me and Mickey and Johnny talked the other night. The first thing, the one question was that this is a brand new company and they have no It was like they have no past. Well, all these people have worked for fishing companies. They didn't just all decide, oh, let's leave Wall Street and start this company. They have 30 years experience with technologies, moving from raising them into the pen to starting this to building a new. So that alleviates to me some fears. It's not somebody coming off the street from a whole different background. These guys are work for industry leaders, and if you look at the name and research the names that all these companies, all these gentlemen work for, they're the leaders in the fish farming. So they're not just coming off the street not knowing what's happening. But as far as in the U.S., I find it hard to believe that it needs to be this size to make money. They are fish farms in the U.S. that has to be making money, or they wouldn't still be going at it. So
I'm going to hand you out a paper. I might as well do it right now. It says, why have fish farms failed? I got a whole bunch of, you pull each one of them up there, and I think it, there's six of them there for you. And one of the things that said in there is that they recommended that they start small and grow from that rather than start giant. Hope it worked down, but I'm not going to go over all the details in that, but I encourage you to read it and you draw your own thoughts from it, but there's a lot of good information on these pages, and I found it very interesting to do that. As you can tell, I've highlighted some areas I thought were worth reading, and I think, John, are you done?
I have one last question.
You can hit it if you want. Go ahead. I think I'll what tools do you have available to you at this point if you decide that you don't want to proceed with it? What papers have been signed? What guarantees have you given them that they can come here? You know, I don't know.
We haven't given them any.
When you say they bought the farm and you've annexed in town, I said, whoa, it's almost a done deal, but it's what you're saying, it's not.
No. I mean, we annexed the property, and we added 246 acres to the town of Federalsburg is what we did. That's all we've done.
Yeah.
So if they don't get their funding, they're not building anything.
Oh, yeah.
And they own 246 acres in the town of Federalsburg is what it is. And maybe that becomes the new industrial park. I don't know. They have to get the rest of their funding.
So you're sitting on top of it right now, and you have right to say yes, you can come, or no, you can't, and that would be it.
We don't have the right to tell them they can't come.
Right.
The only thing we can do is when they send, they'll come before us to request, like, hooking into the water and sewer. We can deny that, and then it, in a way, kills the project from that end, because then they have no way of the water and sewer aspect of it. Because even though if they're pumping water out of the ground, they still want to tie into the water and sewer for part of it. So, $70,000 a day, $60,000. I think it went down. Yeah. You say $60,000 a day.
Which our capacity is 750,000 gallons a day. We're only sitting at 350,000 at the wastewater treatment plant, so we have plenty of room for any wastewater to run through there.
Yeah, that fact sheet that they had on the table the other night from AquaCon said that 60,000 or 70, whatever the number was just going to be like general wastewater. You know,
mm-hmm.
From
kind
the
of waste.
From the restaurant.
Yeah.
Kind of
right.
There, not from the plant.
No processed water.
That didn't sound like it.
You've got processed water, and then you've got salt.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't think your waste management plan will take salt.
No, they would have to pull some of that out. It's just like DART Solo sent stuff over there, and you can tell when they didn't do their part at DART because the foam is red. So at that point, what happens is the plant manager calls DART and says, you need to fix your filtration system because what you're sending us has too much of the red dye in it. And they tweak their system, and we know the next feed that comes in, it's not as pink, or not pink.
They've been running a batch of red Solo cups.
That's exactly right. They know when they run the red Solo cups.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think one of the things from last Wednesday and from reading what's in the newspaper and even just getting some comments from folks, I think it's important just to sort of back up for a second for what the town has actually done thus far. And to Kim's point, we've done three things. We've annexed the property. We've run some calculations on our wastewater treatment plant. And we've allowed them the right-of-way of a road. That's and to give you a timeline, next month I will have been on council 1 year.
And so what'd you say?
As of next month, I will have been on the council for 1 year.
Yeah.
We have given them the road in the time I've been on the council. Everything else is more than a year old. So the only thing that has come for us in the last year is this right-of-way for a road. We've not had a presentation. We've not had a fact sheet, a fact meeting. So I think there's some thought, or some whatever you want to call it, call it what I want to call it, but out there that the town is pushing it, that we are cheerleading it. I think we're all for responsible development. But responsible development is responsible development. It's not welcome anybody into town that wants to come. It's doing so safely that, I mean, all five of us sit here and say, any chance we get, that the best thing about our town is that river. So we don't want to take action that kills that river. It doesn't make sense.
No.
It's not consistent with what we say and what we do and what we want the town to be. So I feel like there's a perception out there that this is way farther along than it really is. And that there's been a lot more action taken by this body than there really has been, and that it's moving a lot faster. And like I said, three things have been done by the town, by the mayor and council, only one of them in the last calendar year. So just put that in perspective. I think a lot of attention came very quickly because we had a permit hearing. But just in a larger perspective, and to Larry's point, he said this before, and I mean there are other projects that will be shovel-ready before AquaCon, that will be here and be completed before AquaCon, that will create more jobs than AquaCon, that are happening. So it's not a, this is being pushed on, or it's being done in secret, or we've got all this information we're not sharing. In the time I've been on the council, they've not been here to present anything. I know what I've read. I know what I've reviewed. I know what I've researched. I don't know anything firsthand because I haven't heard from them. So just sort of paint that.
Yes, all good points. Thank
yeah.
you.
There's something John said a while ago about visiting a plant. I might be speaking out of turn on the economic development side, but we have a budget, or we have some money. And if you want to send two or three people down there, I think the committee would say, hey, we'll help pay that. To do that. That's how much we like to see the thing come, if it's going to be the thing that should be here. Nobody wants some new business in town any more than I do, as I've been being out of economic development for close to 40 years. I want to see Fellsburg grow. I want to see good business here. I want to see people get employed. So,
you know, there have been other businesses that we've looked at through the years that would have been good for the town financially, but they just had some question marks on whether they were going to be a good neighbor for the community, and we always found ways to sort of discourage them. You know, a couple of those I look back at and I wonder if we made the right decision or not. I see them being successful where they are, but then others, you know, I don't have any second thoughts about. So it's. Yeah, it's definitely a tough call. And the second part of the question that Frank read at the bottom there a while ago was not only what tools have you guys used at this point, but what tools are available to you, or get some research done to see what, you know, what your options are as far as, you know, finding ways to encourage or prevent. Let's say you make the decision after this permit. Say the permit comes. And you guys get looking into this more, and you're thinking, you know what, we're just not comfortable. You know, what tools do we have at our disposal to discourage them from coming? You know, they've got their money lined up, they've got their permit, and if there's some reason that you guys determine that this probably doesn't look like the best fit for Fellsburg, you know, do we have tools that we can use to discourage
them? The permit that's being asked for is not from the town, it's from NBA, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
MBA should be a huge roadblock for them. Their track record's not too good.
They did say that MDA, that's the ones that expected before, right?
MDA?
MDs.
MDA.
They did say that they're shorthanded there and they weren't doing their follow-up inspections as often as they should, and that's something that
Well, that wasn't MDE that said that. That was the lady from Salisbury.
Okay.
That was the professor at Salisbury. That wasn't MDE that said that. It was the lady from Salisbury that said that, that made those comments about MDE. So, but I think the checking out the Miami plant is a good idea. If we can, you know, track down somebody down there just to inquire and ask and talk to them about their town, if it's in, I'm assuming it might be in the town proper, but it could not be in their city limits. It could be in their, you know, business district outside of town. So, but that would definitely be worth investigating to get some options and to look into that.
Did they ever say anything of how they plan on disposing all the sewage from the fish? And it was stated somewhere I read that the sewage from the fish is equal to all the sewage that, that everybody in Caroline has going to have on the same day. You know, so it's a lot of stuff to get rid of.
So it is, and I've been, so I actually took an aquaculture class, and I went out to Minnesota to an aquaculture company out there. And this was way before I was even thought about running for mayor. I did that because we wanted to try to do it over on our property over in Hurlock. And what they do is they strip the poop out, and then it goes through this other processing filter, and then they turn around and sell it to farmers for fertilizer because it's great fertilizer. And that, so the other discussion was all the ancillary companies that then come out of prior to, or like there's was talk about maybe a, you know, fish process or food, like making the food coming instead of having to have it come in trucks. There is who's going to, you know, sell and buy the, you know, fish poo, and then they're going to put that into a fertilizer and sell it. I don't know if you've ever looked at the cost of that blue whatever fertilizer that is like the blue crab and the fish poop and all that stuff, the fish emulsion. It's really expensive. People pay really good money for that stuff that is, I forget what it's called. But it's all like seafood that's used in for fish for manure. But I think that's what we believe. I think that's what they were planning on doing with it, was stripping it out. They have filtration systems that will strip it out, and they will send, sell it for fertilizer. Like Rob said, we haven't had another presentation, at least not since he's been on council, as far as what they're doing with every step and every stage of the way. I think they probably are 2 or 3 years out, I would think.
Yeah,
at least.
Yeah.
I mean, for anything this scale to even come online. And then to the point where they start the fish as the fry, and then they go through the different tanks. I don't even know how long it, I forget what the time frame was for them to get to a, the age. Yeah, for, I don't know how long they grow in all the different size tanks, but they move them along the process, and then they get to the perch tank. So, yeah. But we're like you. We have questions, and we would like to get some answers.
Yeah, I think we, like most of the public, thought that this was further along in the, in the process. That, you know, sort of like their ducks behind this permit were already in a row, and it was going to go boom, 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 you know, as soon as this permit.
If they're in a row, they, haven't presented a row to us yet to look at.
I have not paraded them through this
row.
They're kind of like the geese that are swimming along them. They just kind of,
you have a meeting with them on, I'm sure you will, you know, going over some stuff. I think it'd be nice if you would invite the Economic Development Committee to sit in on that meeting, if that'd be possible.
Actually, I would think it should just be a public meeting, and it's open to the public for people to come and ask questions. That's what we did with the medical cannabis company. They came and presented, and everybody that was in the audience asked all kinds of questions, and their executives and their architect answered every one of them. So, no, I think we should. So, I don't know that they've permanently based somebody from Norway here yet. I don't think they're to that point. They're generally dealing with their two local people that are pretty, sometimes one of the guys from Norway was there the other night, Powell. But, you know, it would probably, you know, for them to send somebody in and do a presentation and a public presentation of the process, because that night they weren't allowed to answer any questions, right? They couldn't, you asked, like the guy asked about the Atlantic Maidhaden, and they weren't allowed to answer. Because that's not what happens at the hearing. It is receiving only, no giving back. So, no, I think if they were planning on, maybe we need to check with the group, and the next time the executives are in, have a hearing so people can come ask the questions and hear about their experience and, you know, what they want to do.
In my opinion, from the meeting the other night, the Shore Rivers representative, Matt Luter, he knew his stuff. memory loss over him. And he was talking with the MD, several people after the meeting, and had questions. The last gentleman that spoke, I think, is the designer of this new technology.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
He's out of IMET out of UMBC. Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, I talked to Matt.
He made some comments to Matt Linda that were leading on.
He did?
He did, yes.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know.
This Matt Linda is impressive.
Yeah, well, I mean, I talked to him, and I'm like, how are you going to deal with the blue catfish? The blue catfish are eating everything in this river. There won't be anything left in this river because of the blue catfish, including sturgeon. And I talked to Dr. Secor because from my peer, that's true. Right, so from my pier, I can see the sturgeon buoys, and I kayak up and down this river all the time. I'm out on a boat constantly, and there, I asked Dr. Secor about the sturgeon buoys, and I'm like, how do you, like, what's under there? Like, how do you know, like, is there, like, obviously it's not a camera, because I know my kayak, if it's in there any amount of time, I've got silt on it, so I can't imagine what a camera would look like if what's on the bottom of these buoys. The sturgeon have, like, grains of rice attached to them. They're implanted with a beacon, and when they swim by, it goes off, and it pings, and those markers go all the way down into the Nanticoke, all the way out to the bay. There are the sturgeon markers, and when they swim by... So I asked Dr. Secor, he said he hasn't been seeing any juveniles. I'm like, well, when I went to a catfish tournament out of Sharptown, they were pulling 42-pound catfish out of this Marshy Hope River. And the 42-pound catfish, they are, so Salisbury is working with all of the local towns that are along the rivers, and we're trying to run these tournaments to help get the catfish out. But what Salisbury does is Salisbury takes the stomachs out, and they're examining all the content of the blue catfish. They pulled out a catfish that was so big, there was an adult wood duck in the belly of this catfish. That's what they're eating. So nothing in that river is going to survive the blue catfish that are eating them. And that includes the baby sturgeon. So we're trying to deal with the blue catfish. We're running a blue catfish tournament. The town is participating in running it in conjunction with Caroline County Public Schools, the VFW, and the Lions Club. We are running that November 5th to help pull some of them out. But they need to do, and I talked to Matt, I'm like, you guys need to do a campaign about getting those fish out of the river. People that catch them are throwing them back. They don't understand throwing them back is just allowing for more babies. You can watch schools of them swim along in the river. There's the doctor from Salisbury just sent me an email the other day that I shared with everybody. There's a new bacteria in these catfish. It doesn't kill the catfish, but it kills all the other fish, and the catfish spread it. And that's in our river. It was, there's a creek. Was it Broad Creek? What creek was it? The creek that's closer down to the Nanticoke, but it's still in the Marshy Hope. So that's where that catfish came out of. Yeah, and the catfish looked a little off, and they test them for all kinds of stuff. And it has this whatever bacteria that I could not pronounce. And they wanted to let Aquacon know because it kills off any fish, just doesn't kill off a catfish.
Bering Creek.
Bering Creek?
I think it's Bering Creek.
Okay. So those are the other things that we're also dealing with in the river that we, because we love the river, are trying to also work with MDE and DNR to help, you know, get the river cleaned up. If I can get the northern part of the river cleaned up, the sturgeon can go all the way up to spawn. They wouldn't even, but the problem is all those trees that have come down are attached to the Ottawa Wildlife Management, and that's state property. And we're not supposed to be using chainsaws on state property. So I have to get permission to clean up the river so that we can better utilize it for ecotourism, because I paddle up in there all the time, and it's wonderful. But there's only so far you can get before you have to then drag your kayak.
Should
we talk
about
this
direction?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All the way up. Yeah. Well, but so now DNR opened. They have a branch now for ecotourism. So I've been talking with the gentleman from ecotourism, and I'm going to use the sturgeon and say, look, we want smart economic development, but you're blocking fish passage for replication, right? So we now have an endangered species. There's 29 of them in the river. We want to be able to open it up further up the river so they can get up and they can spawn and do what they want to do to reproduce. So I have a meeting after Labor Day with the guy from DNR to try to see if we can get permission to help free up all of the debris that is caused, and it blocks the flow of the river. I mean, when a big tree comes down, all the small stuff just blocks up against it, and it creates a dam, and it has a damming effect further up the river. So
So I have a question. Did Mayor and Council know about this 2.3 million gallon discharge prior to? Did they explain that at any point to you all?
I don't remember seeing that number. I knew they were planning on discharging, but I don't remember seeing
the number.
I feel
like every time I read something,
it changes.
I'm not trying to be dumb, but I feel like every time I read something, it's a different number. And so, I'm sorry.
There's three articles been
yes.
out there, all different.
But I don't know where they got their number from.
But the lowest one was 16 million gallons.
The thing that really is concerning, and it sounds to me like the mayor and council is very pro, you know, about, you know, keeping the river. It sounds to me that, from what Johnny started out with, if they meet the limits, MDE saying it's granted regardless, but doesn't matter. Who has the say over the 2.3 million gallons? You know, I would think that's a huge question to be answered to the mayor and council, to the citizens of the area. Anybody who loves the Marshio, what kind of impact will 2.3 million gallons a day have on it?
And it, even good work, 2.3 million
gallons. Yeah, even if it's good work.
Yeah, right. No, exactly.
I really think it's a question that should get answered from somebody. So I'm just throwing that out there to you, and I'm asking you as stewards of the town to see about if we can get the answer to that. Because, the question, like, and Frank started on it, was about the pulling of this much water. Is it, and it's like Duffy was trying to point out, it's not just 2.3 million gallons a day.
Right.
But there's also going to be 200-some million gallons pulled out of that aquifer. Okay, what impact, like, this is what Frank was trying to say, what impact, you know, okay, it's pulling from down here, but everything up here, is it going to turn around and suck it down? What's it going to do? Does anybody, geologists, somebody, you know, in the geology aspect of it, hopefully can give us answers to those things? Because it's not, you know, then my big question is, because three of you said a while ago, we can't stop it. Well, I'd hope to hell you can. It's runaway training. The citizens of the town are going to think mayor and council better stop, whether it's through zoning or whatever it's going to be. I understood your comment that, you know, there's a process, blah, 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 blah. But I think most everybody's thinking in the very end of things, it will be your all's decision. And, you know, that can be very, you know, widely, you know, I've been around when we had some controversial, you know, expectations. That very same property, if some may recall, they wanted to do a trash transfer back there. Okay, and economically, from an economic standpoint, it was fine. We took the trip. We went down and visited. No odors, anything that was of concern to the citizens. But in the end, quite frankly, the citizens didn't want it. And what we've also got to understand is, and this is where Frank is really coming from, is Frank was, you know, years ago in favor of the gasohol plant. And we put the gasohol plant here, and I don't know how many, if there's any others in this room, remember the summer evenings that when that thing would get ripe, and this whole town had an odor. And you damn near would get drunk off of it because it was such a fermented smell and so forth.
And I did more research on that than any business I brought into town. It was the mayor and the Tarver Wimstone Council, I think, and I went out to, I think, Arkansas and plant had been built. They said it was in operation, and we flew out there, and it turned out that the plant was built, but they were just running water through it to check for leaks. So we didn't get much playback on
water
that.
Water didn't give off much odor.
And then I called a meeting with all the businesses in the industrial park and told them what we had, what we were going to have coming. I said, do you want them to come, or don't you want to come, or, you know, let me know what your thoughts are. And they all had no problem with them coming, you know. So we got them here, and we paid a price for it, and I paid a price for it. I can tell you that because I got less phone calls. But but it's over. It's done and over with now. But that's how you can think you're doing all you can do, and then you find out you haven't got all the answers you should have had. You know, so And their big problem was the discharge of the waste that they had from the grain, and it would sink to the bottom of the pond that they built. And then when the weather changed, it would make it float to the top, and when it floated to the top, you had all that odor to come out. And they worked with us trying to put aerators in there and different things that, and did something with the smoke that was coming out of there. And they tried to work with us some, but nothing they did would cure the problem. So
I don't think that MDA would be a huge ally.
Huh?
MDA should have a lot of responsibility on this. But then you look at Lakewood, they've been in violation for 10 years before MDA did anything. So the track record's not pristine.
I'm done. You know?
And maybe that's why they had to submit the soil samples to the Maryland Geological Survey, as far as pulling the, what kind of pulling that water out would do. Maybe that's what they had to submit the soil samples. Maybe that was why.
Yeah, and there's, I got a call on Friday from the woman who was a property owner in Dorchester County, and had her concern. She, not to get into her business, it was about a 40-minute phone call, but her concern is the downstream aquifer folks, and they do have water rights after all. Now that's out physically. That's outside the jurisdiction of the town of Fennelsburg. So, whatever venue is where that issue is decided, my expectation is that that's a question that someone's going to have an answer for. Mm-hmm. Because all the things about the sinkholes and, you know, if they can't get all the water they need at up Tasco, I don't know where else they're going to sink a straw. Because we all saw where the one test well was. Mm-hmm. Now, they might have to come back and drill multiple more test wells. Don't know. We don't know a lot of things. And they're not particularly forthcoming with a lot of information. But we all saw the boom there, and that's what that was for. You hear different things, 1,500, 1,600, 1,800 feet deep.
2.3 stays constant, but the percentage of the volume changes.
Yeah.
Anywhere from 1%, 5%, I heard 10%. Volume of water on premise every time the percentage goes up gets less. It's still an issue.
Well, I got the volume of rainwater off the roof. I mean, there's. Mm-hmm. I think one of the presenters or one of the questioners the other night said that 750,000 gallons, 1 inch equals 750,000 gallons. So, I said to the mayor earlier, I went to a good grad school, so we used to do this with calculator and formula. Well, U.S. Geological Survey's got a, you go to U.S. Geological Survey website, and they've got a calculator. You put in, however, acres, you put in how many inches of rain, and the calculator calculates how many gallons of water that is.
Right.
It's a little bit more than 700,000, and 750 and 750, there's drag and all the rest of the stuff depending on what's on.
It's a big number either way, right?
Yeah, and our partial water tanks are 500,000 gallons. So 1 inch of rain, if it falls over 4 hours, maybe less of an issue. 4 inches of rain falls in 2 hours. Do the math. That's seven times our water tanks. Our water towers.
A lot of water.
Yeah.
Well, I had a run in with MDE years ago and just the rainwater off M&M. I thought the lady was pulling my leg when she asked me what happened to the rain. Explains her to hit the roof and down those things called gutters. She was not even humoring.
I guess she did. So Peter and Scott both have to log off shortly after the meeting, so they wanted to know if we could do them. So if you guys want to...
I was going to say, if you guys wanted
to hang out and ask any other questions, you can. If not, then...
We appreciate your time, definitely.
No, thank you. Thank you for bringing up the... Yes, that'd be awesome.
That'd be great. They were good questions.
Yeah.
You know, feel free to reach out to us anytime. You know, you want to involve us in anything, give me some feedback, whatever the case may be. We're here to assist anyway.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. We'll be happy to catch you guys up.
We've been to some town, and any way we can help, we welcome being involved in any new business.
That sounds great. We like that. We like business.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks, guys.
Well, I'll call you. I'll give you a copy of what I did. I just didn't have enough to go around. I'll email it.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Okay.
Thank you.
All All right, so next we have on the agenda the town wastewater plant discharge permit update. So was Peter speaking on that up front, or Scott? Or do you have questions?
Well, I think we're here to answer questions if you have. At least that's what my understanding.
Okay. So I think part of the discussion was that we feel like we kind of need to go ahead and get our wastewater treatment permit complete. And then whatever ends up happening with Aquacon, then if whatever needs to work out, then we could end up going back to have to ask for, I guess, an addendum or an enhancement. But I don't know if do you guys have any thoughts? I think we just need to go ahead with our permit and get ours done and get ours tucked away and
right. We need, yeah.
To have separate that Aquacon, right. Yeah.
I can tell you what I looked at our files. The permit that you have now expired in August of 2020. A renewal permit application was submitted a year earlier than the permit expired. So in September of 2019, the mayor, Charles Planner, submitted a permit application for renewal. I did note that with the permit that expired, there was a footnote that says the new permit limits may not be the same as that existing permit. But unfortunately, I don't see any correspondence that came back to the town from MDE. I did check on MDE's website today where they have a portal for searches of permits. And they don't list any documents where they've issued any kind of tentative determination or first draft or anything. So as far as I can tell, you've not received any feedback yet from MDE on the renewal of your permit application.
No.
Is that what they were referring to as like the ghost permits? Is that what they consider those? The ones that are like that influx stage where they're never like they've applied and they've never really completed them or signed off on them? Or
I think you're right in the sense that the one example that I think where that came from was a number of months ago when the rendering plant in Linkwood had their public hearing, that term came up. And that permit has been under review since something like 2004, been going on for 15 years. So I think in that context, it's been under some administrative review. In that context, I think they refer to it as a ghost permit.
Okay. Okay, so what do we need to do to move ours forward? Do we need to reach out to MDE to say where are we in our permitting process?
I would say yes.
Okay. So do you have the contact that... Did you talk to somebody already?
I didn't.
Okay.
Gentleman, correct me. It's Naomi Howell, correct?
She's now in charge of that permit department, so she would be a good one to start with.
It's not Yender Chen?
Well, she would be over top of Yender Chen.
Okay.
Yeah, since they never wrote anything back, yeah, I don't know. You know, they would list of somebody who's reviewing the permit, which it could be somebody like Yender Chen or some of his coworkers. That'd be this particular specific individual. But now that Noni's in charge, I guess it should be sent to Noni.
Okay, so we'll follow up with Naomi and ask her what we need to do to move ours along. And if they need other documentation from us or from you guys, then we can provide that and go from there.
That's good.
Is there anything with the Aquacon nutrient offset that we need to think about at this point, or is that becoming a separate application at some point in the future?
Yes. Well, I haven't heard anything officially or directly from Aquacon. But I've read some of the news articles, and I briefly mentioned phosphorus offset to Bob Rao last Wednesday. And, you know, it sounds like the game plan is that Aquacon needs to offset 1,230 pounds of phosphorus that they're putting into the river with their purge water discharge. That's part of that permit that was discussed by MDE, and Bob indicated that the plan was that they would pay for improvements at the municipal plant for Fettlesburg to remove phosphorus to offset their load. However, when I look at the existing permit for Fettlesburg, your load limit right now is 658 pounds, so you're not allowed to discharge any more than 658 pounds. And so that doesn't even cover what AquaCon needs to offset their permit. So there's a discrepancy there, but hopefully that will somehow have to get resolved when they supply the necessary information to the town and we see how it impacts the plant.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yep. All right, we'll reach out to MDE and see where we are, what we need to send them, and then we'll let you guys know.
No problem. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Take care.
And then there was us and Lindsay.
See, and that's going to be our biggest bargaining chip moving forward with AquaCon.
Yeah.
They have to get rid of them phosphorus and whatever else they're going to have that they're trying to discharge. And, I mean, that's where we're going to hold the power is when they come to us to want to upgrade our plant to do that, or at least offset part of it. I mean, that's when we can say, yay, nay, we're not interested, or if the case may be, or fine, but this is what you need to do to the plan. And so,
right.
I mean, that's where the power comes on our side of the equation.
Right. So. I think what a lot of folks think is that at some point there's going to be a, can AquaCon come to Fettlesburg up or down vote? And we don't, that's what we don't do.
Correct. Right.
We have zoning and we have ordinance, but we don't. We don't cherry pick each and every business that comes into town with an up and down vote on whether you're allowed to come.
And
I think there's just a misconception there. You know?
Also, I was on the council when there was talking about having a pornographic store in town, and we could not say that they weren't allowed. We had to find some. What, correct? Ain't this the way we were told by law we had to do this? You can't say something's not allowed. You can restrict it so it's near impossible to find a piece of land to fit what you put, but you can't just say, sorry, you're not allowed to come because we don't like what you're selling.
And you can't see what's on the horizon and real quick make an ordinance to ban it. You have to have had that as part of your public policy. That's
interesting because it's not what people do with all the dispensaries, like, because they didn't want a dispensary in their area, so they were like they tried to regulate it out where it can't be within 1,000 feet of a school, it can't be within 1,000 feet of a daycare, it can't be within. So then by the time you looked, there was churches, daycares, and all the stuff, and there was no spot.
You can't do it after they apply.
You can't do it after.
Right.
That.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Once the state started talking about that,
right,
scenario,
that's when people
that's
did
when
that
the town
the
did
Supreme
it.
Court.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Hialeah versus Church of the
Babalu.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You can't do it.
And if y'all wanted to call about the fish farm, it is in Homestead, Florida, not Miami, actually.
Oh, okay.
So when you go searching for that.
The suburb of Miami.
It's all a suburb of Miami. You got Hialeah.
Right?
We deliver down there, and they say Miami. You look it up, and it's like 10 different towns all side.
It's the whole bottom of Florida.
Miami's here, and you got Hialeah, and you got another piece of Miami here, and it's like, what in the hell? But, all right, what's next?
All right, next is the water tank lights and ongoing diagnostic and programming services agreement with Pixelumen LLC.
And Mayor and Council, you've got the current agreement, or is it current? Because they don't know if the status of it's been terminated between the Historical Society and Pixelumen, and what they proposed to the town.
Mary did say she did not re-sign anything when they were here last week. She said she never re-upped the agreement with them.
Okay.
So I don't believe that they have an active agreement, at least not a currently signed one.
I think that's correct.
So I do have questions. Do we have we received the exact amount that is sitting? Do you remember, did they give a report at the your, at the last Historical Society meeting last week of the amount that's in that fund?
It wasn't on the report that they handed out because me and my father went through it to look.
It was on the agenda.
Oh, okay.
And I do not have that.
Because they listed a bunch of other accounts, but they didn't say anything about that one.
Because Gary wasn't there the last meeting, and Robert just went ahead and put it on the agenda instead of doing anything else with it. But I do have... give me a minute.
Well, no, you're fine. I was curious about the amount. The other one that I couldn't find, and I didn't, to be honest, I tried to dig back through my stuff, but I didn't have time to go digging way back. What was the cost to remove the lights and paint? Because I was just factoring in the maintenance and then the cost to remove it for painting, trying to figure out what's left in the account so that we kind of had an idea of where this was going to fall when the account was going to be empty based on the maintenance and the cost of the painting.
I think that's a line in last week's.
I looked,
was
but
it 8,000? 6 to 8, somewhere in that range.
I tried to do a search in that giant PDF, and I didn't see it immediately under the Southern Corrosion one.
I want to, I may be totally nuts, but for some reason I was thinking it was, when we talked about it, it came up, it was like 6 to 8,000.
That's what I thought I remembered, but I couldn't find it, and I didn't remember. I tried to do I had to convert the PDF to do a search for...
Because I think we were talking like if it's 40,000, you take the 8,000 off the top, and then it gives you 5,200 or whatever a year for the next 5 years or 6 years, and we're basically done.
It was 10. Because it was 40 minus 10 is 30, and that was...
And then 5 years worth
of...
five
years worth of stuff. It was 10. It was
okay.
That was a ballpark Mary had.
Yes.
Right.
But Mary said a figure higher than Debbie's been saying.
Yes.
I do not have that information.
I don't think it's as much as she said.
What did she say we had?
40.
40.
You've been telling
us
like 32.
Well, but and because that was what I had last, but they did do a bingo for the water tower this year because Mary had one final bingo. And
that was January or February.
And that ended up getting rolled into that amount. So it is in the low 40s.
Yeah.
I don't have that information, and it was not on the agenda. It was the bicentennial account that was on the agenda, not the water tower account. We will have to get that information. I think they don't routinely report on it, unfortunately. So
this agreement does allow for cloud access, and it allows us to be trained and do it ourselves, which is new. The other thing that was previously in the old agreement, there was... 2 on-site visits a year. This one is now for the extra cost of the yearly cost is the cloud setup fee and the cloud services to be able to use the cloud. So that was part of why it's more than what it was previously. But the old contract, they came out twice a year, May and November. This time it's once a year. Mm-hmm. And then... for number 6, for client obligation, it says that we have to provide them with keys to the pump house, the gate at the water tower, and the water tower ladder. I don't remember seeing that, and I didn't see it in the old contract, so how have they been accessing it now? Did they call somebody and say, do you know?
David.
They called
David. They would call me, and I knew it before.
Okay.
Not all the time, but I never looked for the pump house.
Okay, well, now they want a key that says, client shall provide consultant with a copy of the keys to the pump house, the gate at the water tower, and the water tower ladder.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
I am not comfortable with that at all.
We need to know when they're here.
Well, do we have a camera
and
up
we
there?
Need a we need personnel on site.
I like the way we're doing it now.
Yeah.
I do, too.
I mean, there's no reason.
You don't know what they do when they go in there.
Exactly.
You know what I'm one of us needs to be there with them, I think, while we're in that pump house anyway.
And they shouldn't be there after hours. I mean, it should be scheduled and, somebody is around. So.
I agree.
because, the, you know, there's chlorine in there, there's everything in there, and you just don't want anybody in there, right?
Yeah.
I think it is in there. Yeah, this one down here.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those are the, that's what I had marked on this agreement.
And it looks like it's 5280. 350 is one time, right?
Yes, correct.
And then it could go farther down if we do a multi-year like you were recommending.
Well, the multi-year is only going to be on your subscription.
Right.
The multi-year wasn't for the ongoing maintenance and remote programming. That 700,
yeah,
if you rolled it in, that's
right,
where they
well,
were giving you a discount
at,
for the
yeah,
700,
well,
right?
My question is, now that it is officially town property, and this is a town service, like in your note, you say we could bid this out or ask for other quotes.
If it's worth it.
That's what I'm saying. Do you think it's worth it, or do you think the continuity of this is the vendor?
I think that, and considering that it's a five-year commitment on a wood tank that's going to have another 30 years worth of life, 40 years of life, 5 years isn't an awful long time.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, I guess most people would say they've been happy with the service we've gotten from it.
Right.
You know, so I see no reason to go out and find an alternative.
So then yearly, what we would be paying is the $4,000 is the base yearly fee. And then the cloud, the yearly subscription is the $700, but you can do the five-year cloud subscription, which is the $2,450. But we're still going to have to pay the $4,000 every year.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. I just want to make sure that I'm understanding what each year's obligation is going to be. So up front, the $2,450 would be added to, instead of the $700, you would add the amount.
Total, if my math is right, of $4,720 a year. First year, you have to pay the $350 for the setup.
Yeah.
But after that, it becomes $4,720 a year. $2,450 divided by
five
is
$490. Right, okay.
I like the idea. So what's the status of it now? Is it just the same program up there, and it's just going to do that until we sign a contract? Or?
I think that's a good question.
Okay.
Because I'm not exactly sure what the program is, and if it's sort of a standard program or if it's something special,
okay,
as far as the program is concerned. And that was, you know, I think that's a clarifying question. If you want more time on this, I can get that answer, because if we get to sign up for a standard and it's a bunch of red and white dots,
so
people won't be happy compared to what they had. So again, I don't know what that actual package has been.
I take it the way I read this, anything that's already has been up there since it's been there is ours.
That's
right.
The way
it's
I
in
read
a folder
it.
We can click on it and put
right
it back. Mm-hmm. They also have a standard clip art.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And then if there's nothing in the clip art we want and we want to get outside of that is when we got to pay them to program it.
Correct.
And like if we wanted our bicentennial or a giant sturgeon swimming
right
around
I was
it.
I going to say that or like the high school graduation. I don't know that the carnival of colors and happy graduation but high school graduates isn't necessarily something that's built into the system.
But we might be able to do that. Once we get training and take a look at it, I mean, we don't. You don't know what they're using to program it, so
right,
it could be if it's a graphic import and you pull it in. I mean, until we get to see it,
right?
I mean, I kind of like that we're allowed to do what we want with it, because then we could utilize it a little more, and you know,
right.
I'm fine with this. I would just like to remove that idea about keys and access. And
yeah, line. That's the main thing.
I think if we write it in some way that it would be, you know, it's accessible with notice. With town employees present.
So that's changing page 3, number 6,
six
under client obligation, is
right
where that is.
Yeah, I had a safety concern
mm-hmm
with the chemicals and stuff like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure our liability insurance would like that either.
Well, so what, so yes, and it but it does say, like, so under C, which I was wondering about, so page 3C has the Pigs of Lumen maintains the usual insurance coverage, etc. We don't really know what's included in that. Workman's compensation, general liability, and professional liability, errors and omissions. coverage. By the nature of our work, there is no life safety liability, as the electrical engineer of record assumes this liability. But then another thing, they state that they're not an electrical contractor, so they would have to, we would have to have an electrical contractor. So, but I mean, if we work it the way we're working it now, where they have to phone ahead to arrange somebody to let them in, I think that works fine. So they called David, and David called you to let them in up there? Okay.
And yeah. Where they want to go. Like, sometimes it'd be the war tower, or sometimes it'd be up here the lift station.
But David wasn't letting him in. It was always a town employee. Okay.
Yeah, no, I think we should...
I think we should keep it that way.
Yep, yeah. I agree.
Especially if we're going to be charged every time they're on site.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. Except for the one in September.
Well, that's fine, well, but we need to know when they're on site.
Correct. I agree completely.
What, and how long?
All right. So, I guess, Larry, do you just want to email Pixelman back and give them the verbiage for number six? And then, I don't... Lindsay, did you go through this? Did you have any issues or anything with it?
Yeah, I went through it. I mean, I think you put in there your standard language. You put at the bottom of pretty much anything. That they will hold harmless and that you're not responsible for any of their negligent acts, but I can send that language to Larry.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be great. And when we sign this, we're supposed to turn it over with a purchase order, and we would need the money from the Historical Society. Right. Unless they're going to front it, and then as soon as they give us the check, it just transfers over out of that account.
I'd also say that there's no rush necessarily. Sudden corrosion wants to get around painting that tank, so the light's going to be down for a period of time anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't generally paint between, for example, say, November and February.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe...
April.
How long is it going to take them to paint that?
I get the sense not long.
Like a week.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, my thought is, like, if it's going to take them, like, a month to paint it, then we should, like, hold off on signing this, because I don't want to waste a month of our maintenance on them while they're painting it, right? Because it's not active and on, and they're not, we don't need them for anything, and then we've just burned a year of a contract,
right.
A month of a year contract, when I'd rather have the service when it's working as opposed to...
Well, he was very vague on when he's going to show up, too. Very vague on when he's going to show up.
Yeah.
Southern corrosion.
But he said when he comes, he's done. He's like, he's one swift move, he's done.
Okay.
We'd probably squeeze it in before the fall.
Okay.
Did somebody say at one point that there's a bank or two of lights that's not working?
There are two.
Yeah, off the back side.
On
I think.
Side,
yeah. Yeah, on the back side.
Since we're taking them off anyway, wouldn't that be the time to have this contract signed and have them here and fix them before they got to get a crane to hold somebody up there to fix them, and we got to pay that because they tell you they don't pay for the crane. So I mean, if we're taking
them
down,
we
just need to have a contract signed before we take them off, so we can have the lights fixed before they go back up.
Well, so the regular maintenance. If they're already down, I guess the question would be, and maybe that's a question to ask them, if we're taking them down, can they do the repairs prior to them going back up? Because part of this does not include the, when you look at the troubleshooting, there's basic troubleshooting done via remote login. The preventative maintenance visit is supposed to be in September. And it will be, anything else will be considered outside the scope of work, which is then the $1,200 a day for troubleshooting and maintenance, which excludes climbing and or rappelling, which then is added more. So maybe we kind of need to ask, it would be nice if, like you said, if when they're already down, they can fix them before they go back up and they get put back up in working condition.
Right.
I
hate to think we pay to put them back up, and then a week later we got to pay for Pixeluma to show up with a crane or something to
yes.
get up there and all that added expense. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me if they can sit down and look at them and know which bank aren't working, when they take them off, they can then test and figure out why they're not working on the ground as opposed to, so.
Maybe we can ask who is taking them down? Pixelumen or Southern Corrosion? Is Pixelumen taking them down?
Pixelumen, yeah.
Okay, then if they can mark them and then help them with that section in coordination with taking it down, then that would be nice if we can do that all in one swoop.
And Southern Corrosion knows we need X amount of time to get him off the... He can't call on a Friday saying he's coming on a Monday.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean,
well, again, Southern Corrosion, I think the arc of time getting so that corrosion is going to be a little bit longer. So I doubt very much we're going to get that off from him.
Okay. All right, so we know what we need to do about this, right? Got our marching orders for that. Do we have any other discussion on the painting, the water tower, the lights? Okay. Next, we have the review of Town Code Chapter 17, the animal ordinance.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, animal ordinance. So we've got ours, and then you've got the ones that our attorney has provided. And there's no recommendation for text amendments at this point because the legislature, I believe, what might be a more worthwhile discussion is the legislative intent. What exactly about animals do you want to legislate?
Well, I found it funny that in, where was he? Wait, it was Trap in Cambridge? No,
yeah.
Yeah, Cambridge. So in Cambridge, no person shall allow any fowl to run at large or permit any animal upon any street unless accompanied and securely fastened. So if they are walking chicken on leashes or geese and any fowl on leashes in Cambridge, I would like to see that. Well, yeah, there you go.
That's where you would see it.
This is where blue laws come from. Like, in Miami, you can't tie your alligator's leash to a fire hydrant. Like, this is where this comes from.
There you go.
I'm just throwing that out there.
So when you're walking your pet goat, Rob?
No. I think we have a very vague ordinance right now. And it probably does... It probably is in our best interest to start looking at what do we want. Our ordinance right now, if you wanted a horse, can you?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that a good idea?
No.
No.
Should we fix it?
Yes.
Okay.
Good luck with that one.
We don't have anybody in town.
We don't have anybody in town.
For horse, do we?
No.
We used to. The trap.
Right now, the only thing we got to worry about is the goat.
Right.
We currently have goats in town. That's the only thing that's.
And my neighbor had two pigs in his yard yesterday, but
are they still there?
I don't think so. They might be hiding in the
house. Are they
banging
now? I don't know.
But
now, see, I disagree. According to our thing, we can have a horse because a horse is a domesticated animal.
Oh, well, there you go.
We all said right now you can have
a horse. No,
I said my neighbor had two pigs in
his
yard yesterday.
I thought you said we could have a horse.
Yes, we shouldn't have.
According to the way our ordinance is written, yes,
you can.
You can have anything you like right now.
Damn, I can get Annie a horse.
But my next question is that a good idea?
Sorry, I misunderstood.
No, we should not have horses in town.
Yeah, could you replace farm animals with domestic?
See, the problem is the whole definition of domesticated, because I always thought domesticated was like a cat and a dog.
Mm-hmm.
A horse, a goat.
Well, that's why I say farm.
All kinds
farm
of things
animals
are now domesticated.
That gentleman with the goats said that they were his family's pets, and they had been raised with children and were domesticated.
Now Trapp's definition of farm animal, for the purpose of this ordinance, shall include not limited to cows,
like
horses,
that.
Mules,
yeah.
Donkeys, goats, sheep, hogs, llama, chickens, turkeys, ducks, geese, and pigeons, or similar fowl or hooved animals. Now, I do think you left out emus.
I was going to say, don't laugh, because we had emus in town for years.
Well, Preston, has that...
Yeah.
Yeah. Clyde or whatever his name is. But
they have four or five of them.
What?
He's a peacock.
Oh.
That one didn't last long after.
Was
he in the sewer?
I don't remember hearing that. I remember the emus as well.
You could see in the other house.
There was an alligator.
God, that's been years ago. Yeah.
But I mean, I do like this definition.
You've worked here too long.
Yeah, I'd say and I overlooked that because I couldn't find it in there.
I do like it. This is in trap. I do like this
definition. I thought that was well written. And I would add alpaca just because there are several farms around here.
Yep. And I like the section too where it references the state code to exotic animals. Then we don't have to write it. It's
oh,
already
correct.
There.
Right.
Yes.
So that means you can't have your lions, tigers, and bears.
Oh my.
No Tiger King in Fettlesburg. So sorry about
but
your Netflix fame.
So for the exotic animals though, if you have a permit in the state of Maryland,
you could maybe look this up more.
What I'm just curious, right? Because if you're going to reference the state of Maryland statute, then it says if you're permitted, then you can have it. And all we're doing is saying you can have it based off the Maryland rights. Yes. And not that I'm looking to get a tiger or anything, but.
Well, we could make it more stringent, but we can't make it less stringent for state law.
Right.
10620.
We already have the information for the chickens, so that section can all—that's all already mm-hmm. that's already been taken care of.
Please let me know the first time you're gonna walk your chicken down the street.
Here
on
we
the
go.
So I can watch.
This is the state. This is the state law. A person may not import into the state, offer for sale, trade, barter, or exchange as a household pet a live—it's got to be live. Fox, skunk, raccoon, bear, alligator, crocodile. Member of the cat family other than the domestic cat, or poisonous snake in the family groups of Hydrophidae, Elipidae, Viperidae, and Crotidae. which I'd have to defer to a scientist to know if we're in those groups. I mean, so that's what the state says no to.
Okay.
So it doesn't really give you a way to have a permit for anything. Does it? Or does it just tell you point blank?
It says,
no.
It says you can if you hold a valid state or federal permit to use the species for educational, medical, scientific, or exhibition purposes.
But you can't sell them.
No.
But if somebody wanted to have like an animal show and they got a serval, then they would get a permit from the state for that exotic animal. And
sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Alligator or crocodile, but you can have a caiman. You were thinking the same thing.
Reptiles.
Yeah. I mean,
Komodo dragon, all that crazy stuff. Yeah.
But they live in people's houses usually, and nobody has to see them.
Right. So, I think we need to tighten ours up a little bit. And
I'm not disagreeing with that.
And trap, I think, had a good basis. I wonder who wrote trap's ordinance.
We did.
That was a softball he was launching for you to hit.
We were just seeing if you were paying attention.
And I will tell you, we had four public meetings just on that ordinance. You wouldn't believe the amount of people that get offended by the keeping of animals until you try to regulate it.
Mm-hmm. So the question is going to be, can you have a sturgeon?
Only in the
leash.
Is it a comfort sturgeon?
It's
a therapy sturgeon.
It's an emotional support sturgeon.
Yep.
It's probably outlawed due to the endangered
I'm
species
sure
law
is.
Where
that's
you're not allowed to, you know.
I'm not looking that one up.
Tattooing capture.
Okay, so do we want to...
I'd say mock it up and bring it back.
And I'll also make a suggestion. In our zoning ordinance, and I think this is where we've got a little bit hung up in the past, in our zoning ordinance, on the R1, is a section about farms in the R1, which is we identified as a 50-acre lot. Now, if you look at our R1 map, most lots are like 10,000 square feet, 8,000 square feet. So I don't know who's going to, you know, obliterate 200 lot lines and bring in a 50-acre lot in the R1. So, and the R1 is allowed to be a farm. I mean, a 50-acre lot is allowed to be a farm.
So I'm sure there's an archaic reason for that, but the lived experience in the R1 is nobody's got a farm, and we shouldn't even like talk about a farm in the R1. So that might also need to be separate and distinct from this, mm-hmm. but just so that we don't get hung up on, you know,
so trap
interpreting it as a farm.
Traps has a A. Theirs is all talking about the A agricultural district.
Yeah.
Do we have that zoning in Federalsburg? A
no.
zoning?
I've never seen an A.
We don't have agriculture.
So is it possible to take the 50, what is it, 50?
50 acres?
Do we even have lots in town, other than the Aquacon lot? I mean, we don't even have that size.
If, like at some one point in time, they were looking to annex not just the farm beside Food Lion, well, I guess it is the annex, actually.
That's what I was going to say. I was just
how big is that?
I think it's 64.
And that's residential. Mm-hmm. So there is an actual, of course, I don't know if that's subdivided or if it, they ever got that far.
They never got that far.
So there's 60 acres, so it's possible to have.
But that is in town limits?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
right,
I mean,
so
it is possible to have a 50-acre lot in R1.
I forgot about that till just now.
And then I think that's part of what I can only assume. There have been various other talks about annexing in more farmland, leaving it as is until the developer came along to then, but they wanted a person who's living there now to still be able to use it as a farm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Different ways of doing it, obviously, like you said, take it out of R1, make an agriculture district, so.
Right.
You know, which seems to make more sense than.
Oh, Scott, are you talking about the Klein property?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because at one point in time, there was a couple people wanted to annex that whole farm in, all the way to Bradley Road.
Yeah. Yeah.
All that farmland they wanted to annex in town that would double the size of Federalsburg by landmass for 6 residents or whatever. But that's when early 2000s and developments were going up left and right, and they thought they were going to do something. So
maybe it's a good time if the Planning and Zoning Commission is looking at comp plan
to change that up.
Look at an A zone and add it in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no farms in R1 because they've got their own zone.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So I guess we'll. Lindsay, you want to take a run at it? With the.
I can. So, I mean, do you. I mean, they allow chickens by special exception. Are you going to allow any farm animal by special exception? Do you want to permit chickens off the bat? Is there a certain number?
We already have the thing
dealing with chickens.
Okay. So we can cut all the chickens out. We're just going livestock.
I mean,
you don't want to roll the chicken one into this one and do just one.
Yeah, I kind of would like to do that, actually. Why
roll the chicken into this
one? Why have multiple?
Why have another chicken ordinance?
You could just be under the rolled up under the animal ordinance, but that work's already done, so you can combine that one into the animal ordinance.
Because that way, if Nate sees animals, he's got one place to go.
Right.
These are the rules. Because chickens are in supplementary zone regulations is actually where it's located now. So I would pull it out of there and put it into animals.
Okay, so I can work on like meshing the two.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right, so we have a plan for that.
Yep, and you want to keep 5 chickens. Like all, you're good with all of that.
I'm good with the chicken ordinance. No roosters. No roosters. Just chickens.
It says crowing hens, but none of my hens. I mean, mine clucks, which usually clucks when she's done laying an egg to let somebody else know it's free for somebody else to come lay an egg, but never heard of a crowing hen.
You never heard one because they're not permitted.
I guess not. Well, there's a rooster still hanging around town, so.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question, Lindsay?
Uh-huh.
Are we grandfathering any existing?
I think you have to.
I don't know. That's up to you all.
I think we have to.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if their goats go, nobody else can get new goats. But if their goats go, then
yeah, and they can get additional goats.
The next question, which came up in the conversation, are we inventorying these people's goats to make sure you have three brown ones and two white ones today, but next year when you have three black ones and two white ones, you know?
Well, I think the way to do that is if you grandfather them in to have some type of license where somebody comes in and Nate, I guess, has to go up, inspect it, make sure they have shelter outside for them, and I mean, really, how else do you do it?
Right.
Because if not, they have goats forever, and really, there's more property maintenance issues up there than goats, if anybody rode by and looked at the house.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
So, I know where it's at. So,
right,
but I'm just saying perhaps there's also other reasons Nate can spend his time up in that neck of the woods.
But his comment, and I'm not trying to second guess, I'm going to take him at his word, that he came here, he asked the question, he got permission, he bought the goats.
Right.
That's where I kind of stop and go, we have to grandfather the goats
right.
in. If some, if, yeah, yeah. If somebody from this office told him goats are okay...
Because it's a domestic animal.
Until it dies.
I knew that one.
I don't know that answer.
I think they can live a good life.
They can live a long
like
time.
Dogs.
Let me Google it.
But
lifespan.
Does
I have chicken that lived 7 years.
Does the Humane Society issue permits for other animals other
years.
Than dogs? Because, you know, everyone's supposed to have their dog license through the Humane Society.
Past experience, they don't want to touch or talk about anything but dogs and cats.
Okay.
Nothing.
The Department of Ag has to license chickens, but I don't know that they have to license anything else.
So the reason the Department of Ag licensed chickens is because of the bird flu?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if there is a death, then they report, like, I got a letter in the mail when, like, bird flu was going around that I had to watch my flock and my flock. I had to watch my chickens, report any mysterious death, you know, I mean, besides my dog getting it, right? That's wasn't mysterious. Okay. All right, so we're working on that one.
Yep.
Okay. Next is the Public Works upcoming work plan discussion.
Madam Mayor, members of council, and we've got an actual Public Works supervisor here.
I wonder something.
We've got our famous four-zone map, which I've discussed, and an approach, and we're happy to talk about anything operationally. So if there are questions about why a thing is done the way it's done, happy to talk about that. The bigger picture is getting them up to staff. So the notice runs in the paper Wednesday, and it'll be advertised for 2 weeks. We've already got an application, so I'll interview this guy this week. We'll put it up on the Facebook page, et cetera. So, again, it's getting them up to strength first, and then getting some schedules down. And Keith and Summer and I talked about some schedules, even things as basic as the water in the summertime, doing the watering down here. In the non-summertime, where we do have to deal with splash pad breakdowns, which are all hands on deck. Once the splash pad goes down, these guys stop what they're doing. They go and take care of the splash pad. Water main breaks, these guys stop what they're doing to go and take care of a break. Our inefficient outsourced trash collection has to be bailed out. These guys stop what they're doing to bail it out. It rains when I mean to cut grass, so they cut grass 2 days later, and yes, the grass has gotten that much taller. We cut grass, we don't manicure grass. So,
I cut it 3 inches, and the nut sage grows up 3 inches above that 2 days later. And that's what we have, nut sage.
So should we, all right, stupid question, should we put other grass down? Maybe not that one.
Nut sage is something that pops up.
It's a weed.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's everybody's your.
Oh, I think that's not the one that gets the little.
It's hard,
yeah, okay, yeah. Leggy, and it's just got that little nub at the top. Okay.
And they grows everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So one of the questions that I have, and this is, I had asked Steve about this before he left, as far as like watering, I would like to, on the water on the baskets, and I know next year we want to put 8 on the bridge. I want to figure out a way that we can water them from the river.
Already hit it.
Good.
Already hit it.
Because I talked to Sumner and Steve about that. I'm like, we should be able to put a pump in there and have it.
I got, matter of fact, I got to meet with the city of Seaford in a couple weeks. The way they do theirs.
Okay.
Show me how they do theirs.
Perfect. And then the other thing is I, my thought is also maybe in our gardens along Main Street, if we could put irrigation in that sprays. I mean, I don't know if we already, if there's already water lines there, right? Can we tie something into there? Because that would help too. But if we can, if we can just pull the river up, the water out of the river and water those with drip irrigation.
As long as it doesn't spray.
No, like so, so what I have, yeah. So what I have on mine, it's like there's a little head and it's like a little like fountain just comes out, but it's self-contained.
That water will live stagnant.
But in those as well, like when I water them, if they really, if they just had like a plastic tray in the bottom, the water wouldn't run straight out.
Right.
So like even if we were to put a tray in there before we fill them, right, that would save it tremendously also because it's not, I mean, you stand there and you soak it, but then it's just running out. It doesn't retain any of the extra water you put in there.
You can do the water bottles too, you know.
My concern is somebody's going to take them out and throw them. Because I have those in some of my plants that aren't on my irrigation, and I just see somebody taking them out and throw them in the river. So I think if we can run some stuff up from the river and run it up on the backside and stick tuck it in like I have mine at my house, that we would be able to water them on the bridge. Nobody needs to worry about it.
The bridge is going to be easy.
Yeah, yeah. And there's 8. Then that leaves the last one to do whatever we want to do with it, but all 8 are taken care of. And then if we have a serious need, then we can just water the beds here if there's a serious need. But yeah, okay. Nope, sounds good. I like that. Thank you.
We've talked about a few things, and I know Chambers Park is going to be a little bit of a priority after the summer. Let's get to Labor Day, cutting grass, splash pit. What things like stop sign? And
well, let me fix this week.
Okay, that's terrific. And I'm not sure, what's the road that runs to the park?
Kinder.
The rail fence that we've gotten there, including sections where it's just
terrible.
It is terrible. And including sections where it's just one rail, and I'm not sure if people are supposed to tie their horse up there. Because I'm not exactly sure what it
park in their chicken, alligator, sturgeon.
Give me permission, take a nail.
He did.
Give me permission, take a nail.
All right, is that a directive?
For to take down that
the split rail?
Split rail fence. My only concern is you're going to have people driving back and forth.
And they do that, and that's part of the problem is actually the football group would like to put split rail along the backside because people keep taking up their rope and they do donuts in that field.
Yes.
So I think if we could fix the split rail, which is probably 30, 40, 50 years old, right, if we could get some replacement pieces and fix it.
Probably 15.
No, it looks like it's a lot older.
I know it does. Weather
But I feel like the split rail draws you into the park. Like I kind of like the split rail, but I would like it to look nicer and be, you know.
If we would have to run it the way it is now. We could run that one side going in on the right. We could run it all the way down to the fence and leave room for them to get the drag through.
Okay.
And on the other side, we could run it from, like, the where the benches are all the way back to the and be done. But it's going to all have to be replaced because it's rotten. And
okay.
So that's your whole decision.
Whatever happened for the money for the split rail at the other
park? Would you like to know where it went?
Yeah.
That's what took care of the ball fields.
That's what I thought.
Sue reappropriated that to the, that's what it was supposed to go to replace the split rail fence and do other stuff with it. But
I thought that was going to be your answer, but I just wanted
that
to
was it. That's what happened to it. So.
That was a good project.
Yeah, yeah. No, it looks much better. Yeah. It definitely needed to be done. So, but it's nothing to say we couldn't add extra money onto the, I mean, literally, we could spend several $100,000 on the Jeff Price list for what to do with our parks. So,
and any more word from the county as far as additional money?
What I've heard is that they're supposed to get another $1 million for Parks and Rec this year as well. But I've not heard what that allocation is going to wind up looking like.
Standing up there with our hands out, hopefully.
could be the first time in years. There for a while, we never used Parks and Rec. When I was on the council, we never used them for anything. We always put it to bill for it.
Yeah, we need some help up there, so more than we can afford, so. Okay, so is there any, was there anything else?
There are a number of procedural things, and it's, you know, I learned a lot more about picking up sticks, talking to these guys, than I think most residents know, and more than I know, because every place does it a little bit different. One of my old teams, the picking up sticks truck ran all on collection day. It just ran all day. So they might, I put out mine 8:30 last night. They'll pick it up 9:30 this morning. My neighbor across the street puts theirs out at 12:30 in the afternoon. They'll pick it up at 2 because the truck never stops. That's not what we do. We run a route.
It won't tomorrow. Well, I'm on it.
I'm just saying, we run a route. And, you know, even depending on what vehicle these guys choose to go out. So you talk about, you know, does everything need a backhoe? Well, it kind of doesn't. But the smaller truck, which is easier to load, has a smaller bed, so as a result, has to run back to the shop and dump more often. So you're trading that time efficiency for the second piece of equipment, which is more time efficient, but not necessarily more staff efficient or fuel efficient. So, you know, in a way, pick your poison. We've also got, you know, the way people put their bundles out, which is supposed to be done a particular way. It typically isn't. And as a result, you know, nobody, they're supposed to be bundled, and it's supposed to be X-length.
Less than 4 feet. And they're not. They're putting out stuff 12, 15 feet long.
Well, but so does that go to, you know, do we maybe do like a couple of diagrams on Facebook and put it out like the trash? This is like, we're happy to pick your stuff up. Help us help you be more efficient. We're trying to be more efficient with our time and our employees. This is what we will take. This is what we won't take.
Right.
Kind of like the trash.
But it needs to be put out by 7 a.m.
Right.
They're putting it out after we go by and then call and say,
what? And, but that's part of the campaign, right? If we're happy to pick it up. But this is, in order for it to get picked up, you know, these are the things that you have to do.
It's a route just like the trash truck.
Right.
If we pass you by at 7 a.m., we're not coming back.
Correct.
But
right.
Let me just say this. No, not no. If you say 7 a.m., don't start until 7 a.m.
Right, because if you
because I'm
going to
tell
six.
You how many times
oh, 7 p.m.
Steve...
Or 7 p.m. the night before.
Yeah, but if you say you're going to start at 7 in the morning, don't start till 7.
Well, the problem with that is sometimes when it's 104 degrees that day, we like to leave a little early.
I understand that, but if I don't want to put my stuff out till 6:30 in the morning and y'all
around.
Started at 6.
We're coming back around, I understand.
You know.
So just say put it out at
6. I'm just saying, because I know Steve always said 7 for trash, 7 for trash, and then all of a sudden 6 o'clock I hear a trash truck coming by my house and it's sitting up by my cars. I'd be like, Steve!
The night before has become the standard.
Yes.
Put it out the night before.
Well, yes.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know.
And that's what they recommend with the trash. Not the night before,
right.
So it's out. So you never know when they're
trash. Well, for trash, now I'd make sure it's out the night before because
it's
a crapshoot.
If.
Right.
We had a discussion. It's not necessarily personal because it doesn't involve people, but it's a thing. And I talked to everybody in Public Works and Utilities this past week. Talked to our clerk about an inclement weather policy that has to do with heat warnings or heat advisories. And when there's a heat advisory, get them out by 7, but these guys shouldn't be out doing stuff at 3 in the afternoon.
Right.
I mean, you know, my dad's union stopped at 92 degrees. 92 degrees, the carpenters and joiners stopped working. So they're paid, but you went home. Below 16 degrees, you went home. So, I'm just saying, when there's a heat advisory, like identified as a heat advisory, not my opinion is too odd, but like we had this last week, we had how many days of heat advisory?
A lot.
A lot. And you learn the hard way when somebody falls over from heat stroke. And we shouldn't be in that situation. We've got policies for every damn thing, every kind of leave.
why don't we just get an inclement weather or a heat policy?
Extreme weather.
This way, they come in the shop. Those are the days when you don't see them out picking up sticks. And if that means we've got to finish picking up sticks the next morning. Sometimes people just have to cope and put themselves in the shoes of people who are out there doing all that manual labor and hard work for the benefit of the town.
I would agree with that.
And I think we just say that. I mean, because typically if it's a heat advisory, you know it the day before or whatever.
Yeah.
You just say,
oh, everyone's phone's going off nowadays.
You know, tomorrow's extra trash day. We're also under a heat advisory. Staff will be picking up between the hours of this and this, and anything that's not picked up, we will continue. Thanks for your cooperation and the safety of our employees.
Right.
You know. And just, I think that's just making sure people know. Well, I mean, it makes sense.
And this week we are short at one off of these two of us.
Right.
Well, if we, getting back to properly putting your yard waste out, I mean, if we do a little campaign on Facebook and everything and people are still not following the rules, and I know this will take extra time, but can we put like a notice on their door saying your yard waste was not picked up because it falls outside of our guidelines? I mean, like I said, I know that that's more work on you guys, but then ultimately, you know, hopefully people will learn then. Because I don't know that if you just don't pick it up, they just think you missed them, even though it's been all over the place.
On some places that are really bad, like I got one now that got boards and limbs jammed all together in one big pile, and they've ignored it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say something to Nate and see if he can do something about it.
Right.
If he can't, I don't know what we'll do.
You said the door hangers were working pretty well.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Staple the garbage rags to it because it's neon green. Well, on the garbage rags, does it also have the stick? Okay, well, there you go. That solves the, But, you know, I would like maybe like circle the violations so that, circle what's wrong so somebody would be like, somebody left this neon green thing and didn't tell me why.
Right.
No, now you know why.
And they'll be calling you.
She can't do it. She can say, what's circled? There's your violation. Here's your sign. All right, is there more stuff on that? For the,
no, I mean, okay. It's going to come up.
Okay.
So when, again, we're placing street signs on one part of town, we'll eventually get to our part of town, too.
Right.
And that's just going to have to be a thing that ignoring anybody, but small crew can't do everything, everybody first.
We're working our way through town.
It's like this question of when is the trash truck going to come? Might come 7 in the morning, might come 2 in the afternoon, might come 5:30 at night. But if it's Thursday,
just leave it out.
Yep.
As far as the sign and the other things that you're talking about, I mean, I think people will just be happy to see some of that getting done. Even if it's not on my street, I'm going to be thrilled that these signs are getting replaced on the other side of town. I mean,
chances are you're stopping at it or seeing it. Did you see my email about the truck sign? Do you know if that was actually ordered? So Steve was supposed to order a no truck. So the no truck is already, once you've already made the turn in the commitment to university, it should be on railroad, so you don't even get to that point to make the turn, and you've already committed yourself to be on that road. So there was supposed to be one ordered so that it goes on railroad, so when you get to the intersection, you don't make the turn. You know you're not supposed to be making the turn.
I'll text you.
Okay, thank you. So, and if not, then if we can order one, this is like, I don't know if we need to have no trucks on university, or maybe it's no trucks beyond this point.
What are they going to do when they go to the gas station?
Huh?
What are they going to do with
that? Well, so that's part of the problem, right? Most of the people, those trucks are not the ones going to the gas station.
Okay.
They're ones cutting through town instead of going out to the bypass. Yes. The one that's a different one, there is issues because we do know that's why I think sometimes you see backhoes and bulldozers and stuff driving on university because they're going out to Tri-Gas to get gas. So, and the trucks that come out of a certain place will go there and get gas. But most of these ones that are coming through, they're just cutting through town and they just make the turn to get out.
I see them every day.
Yep.
There was one sitting in front of his house the other
4
day.
4 million emails about
it. Backing all the way down the street.
I was just sitting here thinking, I couldn't tell you how many times they come flying past my house.
You can't make that corner.
You hear them lock up at the stop sign. Next thing you know, you hear them beeping. Backing all the way up down the block.
Does he back into Chambers Park to turn around?
He backs past Chambers, then take a right on the Chambers.
Oh, yeah, where it says trucks here.
Oh, yeah, happens all the time.
Yeah. All trucks turn around.
He probably couldn't read that sign, though, because Steve hasn't replaced it.
We made that. I got power to see them going straight down the hill.
They'll come past my house, and I'll sit there and look out the window every now and then, wait and see if they're backing up. Every now and then, I'll see him hanging left. I thought, oh.
Oh, Lord.
Whole bridge is going to collapse one day.
Come on, don't say that.
But okay. With this new organization, Larry, what do you think? And I know you're still looking at it, but what's the optimal size of the department?
I want to say 9.
Okay.
I want to say 9.
And how many?
Both departments.
And we have how many now?
3.
Both.
Three. Three and two.
I'm like, what?
It
went
down to 9, I thought it.
Because I think the demand around here in the summer is, if, for lack of a better word, if you had a couple of landscapers, that takes care of all of the questions, emails, phone calls, letters, Facebook postings between middle of April and September. And then the wintertime, his work for those employees as well.
And this may be too far out for you to answer this question, but if you had that many people, would you work anybody during the weekends?
Again, I've seen it done. I've seen a lot in 20 years. So there's multiple ways to do it, and there's nothing wrong with a split shift. You know, somebody's day is half Saturday, and then the rest of your day is half Friday or half Monday.
Mm-hmm.
There's ways to do it. It's what do you need that person on the weekend for? Last weekend's perfect example with the extra trash cans needed for the pop-up basketball tournament, which is actually a yearly event, but nobody ever tells us about it. So when you get the extra 100 basketballers there and they're grilling, we scramble at 9:30 in the morning to scramble to get the trash cans. Whereas if you got that person working half a day on the weekend, all of a sudden these people show up. Hey, folks need trash cans. You need garbage bags. They take care of it off they go.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking.
If somebody gets called in for 15 minutes worth of work, then with trash cans, they're paying 2.5 hours for overtime.
Right. I mean, somebody's here, and that's kind of what I was looking at. The mayor's spending 3 hours a day or four. I don't know how long you spend.
Takes 2 hours water and butter.
You know.
I filled the tank up for you, Dale.
I know, and I appreciate that. It's great. So, I get in, I get in the scary truck, and off I go.
So planning-wise, we have 5. Optimal's 9. What can the budget support now?
Well, no growth. I mean,
okay.
That's one of the issues.
Even with Steve's position being open.
Maybe squeeze out 1.5 people.
Okay.
Maybe squeeze out another 1.5 employees with that.
Okay.
This isn't the end of the world.
Right.
Because I think we need more worker bees than we do leadership.
What about contracting out some of the grass cutting over the summer? Like certain sections, like maybe we take care of like the marina and somebody else does like the triangle and other. I mean, what if we contracted out those services and you're not paying for the employee? But we really, I mean, do you need 9 employees over the winter? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking.
Well, I can't fix any hardly any water leaks now.
All right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Which is, the contract amount's working pretty good with that, but it's still expensive.
Right. Right.
But on the other hand, you got 9 employees, you're paying benefits and everything else.
Right.
And you're working out the same number.
Right.
Now, why do you say you can't fix it? Because you don't have the manpower to fix it?
I got 3 people, Scott.
Well, no, I just want to be clear
yeah.
to make sure I understand what you were saying.
You know, a model shows up with 8.
Yeah.
Or John Brick shows up with 3 or 4.
So you're 3 now with 1 interviewing for a 4th, right?
Right.
Would you go to the other side, right?
No, you should. No. No, then he's bringing a CDL with him. I mean, the one guy in interview is going to bring the CDL.
I was assuming we're hiring somebody now, they'll go to him.
That's That's yes.
All it comes to me. Okay, I think real life was going to the other side.
So that brings us to six. And possibly we could hire a seven.
And we had nine full-time?
On my side.
I mean, I knew we had at the time, we had a bunch of...
Two of them were part-time. Oh, Dad was the only one that was part-time, I remember.
No, him and somebody, because that was the first thing I did sitting on the council, was firing him for a father.
Mr. T.
Yeah.
Mr. T.
Mr.
T.
Got rid of my father.
I've known his father since the day I was born.
You fired his father, and I was like,
I think the first thing I voted on when I got elected the first time was that we weren't going to have any more part-time employees, and we had to let his father go.
Hardest worker of the bunch. He could do the water meter faster than anybody.
But if we but if we were sitting at a place at seven, I mean, when we know we've got financial planning that's coming, and we're looking at like trajectory stuff, but adding a position a year for the next 2 years, I mean, no one wants to really drag it out that long. But I mean, that's maybe doable.
And I don't think we need. I mean, again, we have the chief of police, but you know, I don't think we're here to grow the size of government because we really don't need to.
Right.
Except, frankly, for them.
Right.
Or do you offer overtime and let them cut grass on the weekends if they want? Oh, okay. Okay.
I'll be honest with you.
No, that's okay. I just was asking the question. I was just trying to think of other options. It might be cheaper to pay somebody overtime a couple extra hours to cut grass versus...
Well, we just thought that the other day you and I did.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
That's where I'm at.
Okay. All right. I got. I hear you.
Okay.
A second one.
Yeah, out of Steve's salary, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you still have the mat position still needs to be filled. That's what this is going to be.
Right.
A little bit of a
right.
But I'm always looking to go ahead, you know what I'm saying, because I'm not going to be here forever. Mm-hmm. You're going to have somebody take my spot somewhere down the road.
Sure.
Right.
I mean, if you want me to stay here 5 years, I'll stay here 5 years, but I can leave in two. You know, you need to find someone that's going to stay here and want to learn my job.
Right, and can take over the supervisory role.
That position.
Right. And we currently don't have somebody like that now.
No.
Okay.
I think the other thing, and this is going to sound silly and you might laugh at me, but when you replace the stop sign, have somebody pull out their phone and take a picture.
Absolutely.
And let's tell him all the time.
And let's put it on Facebook. Thanks, public.
Yes.
I don't know. I was
into the park and
in
the Smith Street.
Yeah.
In the Smith Street.
But, you know, but just.
I was going to tell them that for the annual report because the other day the two guys were down there. Manny and Jeremy were down there with the splash pad. I took a picture of them with the splash pad doing some work, so I would have it for the annual report. Thanks, Public Works for
Thanks, Public Works for Public Works is out replacing signs.
Right.
They can be on everything.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
and
that's why.
I'm not being smart mistakes. A lot of it's been money. Money issues, we can't do things.
Mm-hmm.
And we've only got three people that can do anything, you know.
But that's just a small little piece on trying to.
Right.
Right.
People start seeing it in their feed.
Right.
You know,
I've got plans to do all the signs in town that cost about $78,000.
Right.
Not counting the labor.
Right.
But then, I don't know how many poles I'm going to have to replace when I do it. You know, and the signs are making the town look run down. I will agree with you there. It, I feel the same way, but I've only got so much money I can spend.
Sure.
Right.
Right.
Well, let me.
Well, with saving on salary and benefits, you know, and again, if we got to pull $8,000 out of ARPA, we'll pull $8,000 out of ARPA because we'll make up the difference somewhere else. You know, let that $1 million sit there and get some interest on it, and then, you know, pay for the water meters a year and a half from now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You bought enough stop signs for a while. But it's also part of the plan of the sections of town is to do some inventory. We just talked about that. One of the first things we're going to start inventory is our own lot. It's our own yard. Because of all the junk that's accumulated over the years. Any sale value, we'll get rid of it. If it's not, it just got to go.
That's the first time I've seen it.
Yeah.
We got over Sunday off of it in there.
I usually water once that day.
Well, I mean, you shouldn't have gotten that lot.
If we didn't have enough people and taking everything to the landfill just wasn't worth it. I mean, a lot of money was that landfill.
You have a big yard sale.
Going up every day. So, state's got almost about a pile of dirt we got up there now we got to do something with. Besides keep piling them up. do something with that sooner or later.
What do you do with it?
Well, I'm trying to work out a deal to get a dirt sifter where I get the dirt and the stone separated and all the other stuff. So I keep the dirt. I can get rid of the dirt. I can make topsoil out of some of the right. dirt. And we can use it in places like the parks and places we have holes we can fill in. Like these stumps we're going to try to dig up.
Yeah.
I can fill them in with them and things like that.
But you got to clean it out first before
you... clean it first. So everything's a process.
The place where they fix the last water leak, do we have to call somebody to do the cement, or is that something that you guys can do?
Miles is moving his stuff down this week.
Okay.
Supposedly this week. You guys break the work last week, right?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be done this week, and when he gets set up here, he's going to fix that.
Okay.
Because he's going to fix this storm drain over here on this side where the concrete's busting all up.
Yes, okay.
He's going to fix that one same time.
Okay.
I don't want to push him because I don't want to do it. And I want it done too.
I was just asking. I just wanted to be like, it's kind of like, oh, great, the barrels are out, and the barrels will be out for another 4 months. So I just didn't want the barrels to be out for another 4 months.
And if I don't see him in a week, I'll call him.
Okay, I appreciate that because I didn't want to hear, like, why are the barrels still,
I got somebody else, a little bit cheaper, not a little bit, he does a good job too. He's going to fix the one on East Central.
Okay.
We're going to dig that one up. It can be like 3 squares for that.
Okay.
Sorry. You're better than some have been.
I try.
All right, do you have anything else on that one?
No.
Sounds like good progress.
Yeah, when you get questions, it's hard pulling the guys off the job to ask them.
Yeah.
But if we didn't have to go and look at the water valve situation within behind Koski, I wouldn't have had this discussion about the guys and how many the equipment are picking up our sticks around town. And I haven't had that discussion in 2 years.
Right.
Because sometimes you need the backhoe. Do you need the backhoe every day? Every collection day? Probably not. But you're trading the efficiency of the backhoe loader or the inefficiency of running a smaller truck more often. Keeping in mind, one of my old teams just ran that truck all day. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's an approach. But
we didn't used to be like this. We used to be done by 11:30, 12 o'clock most of the time, and start on pink tickets to be out at about 1:30, 2 o'clock. And then I let the boys take the rest of the day, take the breaks, whatever, and it's 3 o'clock they went in.
Right.
But for some reason, it's just not like that anymore. We're going to try to start cutting the sidewalks next week. All the branches hanging from the sidewalks.
Oh, great. Okay.
Next week. Get the bad ones first.
Okay.
And then we'll just, like, she sees one, she say, Keith, can you look at this one? And Ed or you or whoever.
Does that include the one that's overhanging, that one that I sent you the picture of? Okay. Thank you for fixing that pothole, which I think it's starting to settle again now, but it's not as deep as it was.
It's too much traffic, is it?
Well, the guy didn't come out and stop me while I was watering this week, so he must have thought that, at least he saw that it got filled once.
That's going to be the first sidewalk cut.
Okay.
We do it.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want people to know we're going to be doing this, because I don't want to come out screaming at me.
Yeah, well, I don't know who, I tried to look, though, next time, when I was watering plants at the Triangle, the gentleman at the yellow house on the corner, he came out and he's like, do you work for the town? I said, well, kind of, sort of. He's like, well, I see you out here watering plants. So there was a pothole right off of there on south, as north main as you come down, around that corner. Or I guess it's still Bloomingdale. And then, but there is this giant branch that hangs over, and if you walk under it. Half the tree's dead. It's not on that guy's property, but he constantly cleans debris that falls off the property. But I'm not sure if that property is actually attached to... Is it attached to a house?
It's attached to them houses. When you go going up the hill, the
right?
house on the left, that they own that.
Okay.
Or they used to. Phil Davis used to own it.
Okay. Because was it like, it looked like it's kind of almost a separate property. Like it's all, like it's overgrown with whatever, so I couldn't tell if there was a house on there, if it was attached to somebody else. Okay.
They owned that lot beside it.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's a separate lot, but it's with that same...
Well, I assume it still is.
You're talking about
okay.
The people don't own that. that owns a duplex now?
No, on
North Main
when it turns into Bloomingdale. When you go up around that turn,
oh,
right, there's that nice looking house. They've got great plant flowers.
Yeah,
right?
I was going
like
to say,
across from First Church of God.
Because Wayne bought
right
that
on that corner, yeah. Right? So the triangle is where I'm one of the three planters.
Okay.
There's a house, there's like Lucy's, and then there's a house on the corner. And they have that really nice cattle, they have a fencing. Well, when you walk up on the sidewalk, there you walk under this giant branch, and he's very concerned that it could break because the tree's half dead,
right.
And he's worried it would fall on somebody and kill him. Yeah. It's a huge branch they're going to need to take out.
You said triangle, I fucking meant
no, the other
on
triangle.
West Central, and I couldn't figure out what you were talking about.
The little planter triangle. I'm not watering anything up the other triangle.
No, and that's what I was going to bring up on the action items, not that one there, and also Dr. Trabnell's. You have to walk out in this
yes.
street.
Yes, so that's what they're going to... Anything starting to cut over, right. Hang over the sidewalk, that's what they're going to start trimming back.
But to the point, if we know we're going to do Bloomingdale, like he was saying, he doesn't want people running out yelling at him.
Yes.
Then a couple days before, say, hey, Public Works starting on this day is going to be
correct.
Doing this, starting at this time.
Right.
Can we do the robocalls for just Bloomingdale?
We won't have a problem right there.
No, but I'm just saying, just
other
to start,
places we will.
You know, it allows us to start telling our story of what's really happening. Yeah.
Right.
Just a post a week.
And I hate to make a promise for something, but we've never seen like the sweeper, never seen the work out.
I know.
We got hope we're late on Hope Street, did you see y'all know? It'll be fixed Thursday or Friday. It's not that bad. Another
day. Go home.
The list is long and lengthy.
I tell you, I'm wore out. I've been on that long since 6 o'clock this morning.
I seen you over kicking all that dust up there. Up there across from McDonald's.
Yeah, I had to wait till Bill Wheeler got in and put the sign up where he let me finish.
While you're sitting here.
Oh my God.
Sit here.
That damn LED light on the town sign when you're pulling out of ROFO. Straight across.
Somebody's hit it and turned it.
Can it be rotated? Because it'll blind you coming out of ROFO in the middle of the night when it's dark outside.
At least it lights up.
Oh, it lights up.
I'll see if I can turn it a little bit.
It ain't got to be much, I don't imagine. But
speaking of lights, Larry, in your report last couple of weeks has been the DPNL different... At some point, do we need to make a determination?
Please.
Okay.
I was going to ask that in action items, too.
This is the best question to ask because there's no wrong answers. We need light everywhere.
Yeah.
Here's 20 of them. You're
right.
So.
Okay.
Point.
I had thought we should see if we had the
police check to see that section, like if the police check each section at night, which one do they feel needs the most attention? Because I trust they're the ones probably out at night knowing that this is more dimly lit and this needs to be brighter.
Well, we're not getting a lot of complaints. I mean, there aren't a lot of street lights out right now.
The only thing we get is the lift station in Brooklyn. You can't turn the lights on.
Oh, my God.
See, that turned it lights the whole intersection.
Oh, okay.
Station. Good Lord. I love having a dollar for every call we got complaining. Can you turn them lights off? They're blinded. I can't see. Can you put them out? Can you do that? Oh, my God. It's terrible.
But I'll tell you this. It's a well-lit intersection.
I'll bet. Sure.
It was.
Because when you go to the DPNL website, because there's one on Maple, it's two poles down from me. The light's been out forever, but when you go to the DPNL website, you put that number in, it shows up as a light on Academy. It doesn't show up as that pole.
Well, they didn't fix that one behind Pizza Empire, and they said they did.
Correct.
I turned that one in. I turned the one in behind you, too.
Yeah, so Larry's turned it. Larry and Karen Christie turned that one in also.
Back there on the walkway. I turned both of those in.
This is the one in the center of the parking lot, I'm pretty sure, is the one that's out.
You know, the walking trail where the car is fixed. I got that one fixed, and I turned the other one in behind Harbor, whatever it's called. I don't know if they ever fixed it or not.
Oh, that's probably the one in that same parking lot.
Yeah.
Oh, no, because there's two of them there. There's one here, and then there's one here in the walking trail, but then there's one in the center of the parking lot that's out.
Harbor House.
Right. Yeah.
Harbor Transport.
Yes.
Right.
I will say that I had one out across the street from me, and I put the number in, and on the, and they came out and fixed it. I mean, they
some
just,
of them do.
You know,
most of the time we don't have a whole lot of problems. Every now and then you get a quirky one. Like I've got one now up on Bloomdale. I've reported it 3 times, and that poor man keeps coming in fussing. I'm like, are you serious? They still haven't fixed it? Nope. And the poll number doesn't match up. Because I even had Nate go out and take a picture of the poll number.
That's what I had to do.
That's what I did for this one, and then I sent it to them, and they turned it in for me.
But the one across from me, it almost had like 2 numbers, and I took them both down. I mean, and I can't remember. It's been a year or so ago, but
if they're still on there,
yeah, if they're all still on there. It's 2 sets of 5.
Okay.
Well, to get back to Rob's point, can we just
make a decision?
Give him the option to call the police and whatever they tell you, whatever option there is, just go with it.
When I read your options, I liked the order they were in. I thought option one was the best option. Option two was the next best.
I would feel like option one is the most need.
Which one was which?
It's like you did that on purpose.
Well, Essential, Girardia.
That was psychologically putting them in the order that he wanted them selected in. So
in case we didn't read after option one.
He ranked them in working order.
So unless the police say, no, this is completely wrong,
right,
go with
it. All right, so give it to them and say, this is what we're going with. If I don't hear different from you, this is what I'm submitting.
What are you saying?
Yeah.
Right, okay. And if there's roads, like somebody said, and I didn't drive up there when it's dark, up railroad, there's certain sections where it's really dark. And so, but I think there needs brand new lights. There is no lights there at all.
Yes.
So how do we go about
near that corner
doing that?
Railroad and Buena Vista.
Yes.
Really dim.
Yeah. I don't know. How do we go about getting like brand new lights put in?
Put a request in.
Okay. Can you?
They are a couple of months out.
Okay. Well, can you ask that when you turn that list in? I guess if you can ask, how do we get those along that road? Because it is pretty dim along there.
And they have 2 brand new houses right there at that corner. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Anything else? On the public work? Thank you.
I just want to say one thing. If any of you have a problem, something you see, you don't have to bug him. You can just text me. I can talk one-on-one with you. We can look at it. You tell me what you want. I do that with everybody in town. Everybody calls me, I make them meet me there. If they don't meet me there, then I don't do it.
Right.
So, and that's the way it's been working out for me. If sorry,
I'll send you the number.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm probably the only one who doesn't have his number. But
I don't either.
I'll forward it to you.
It's purple
list.
Okay.
Yeah,
as a contact, Nick, he's important.
Okay. Cool.
And we'll say this, last time they worked real well.
So you cheat, damn it!
That'd be the first email tomorrow.
I got a date with my granddaughter on Wednesday. I'm going to be texting you.
We got a fix.
No,
all time is old. You know why? Dolls and the other day there was like 15 geese on air.
Goats.
I have not cut.
He walks his goats down there and cool them off.
Well, if that's the case, he could cut the grass down there with those goats.
All them trash cans up at public work, any of them good? I need one. My whole back is
in there with a lid on this guy. But I will tell you all this, too. There's probably I picked trash up the other day, and there's probably 100 cans out there that have to be replaced.
Yep.
At least 100. I think I got over about 150.
Oh, yeah. My whole back is just ripped. It's coming to a V. I ain't got much longer, and half the back's going to be gone.
Well, you might have to take your... Does it have good wheels? Because you can take the good wheels off and put them on a can up there. And
if you can get them off.
Well.
Yeah.
They don't make the cans like they used to. Well, the gray ones were the best ones.
I mean, this is first one. This is the only can I've ever had.
Is that a gray one?
Greenish.
Oh, the green. You got the green.
And it was fine until we started outsourcing trash, and I think the way they dump it, the lid hits and it's doing something different, because I've never had a problem until they...
Let me look through some up there, and I'll get you one.
I mean, I'll come swap it out. It ain't a big deal.
I got a bottle of burgers.
If it has a back, it's got to be better than you have.
A whole bunch of ones like that. We just toss a mess more.
Getting it down the driveway is interesting, because I got to lean it way down and hold it. It's a mess.
You put a metal bracket around the back, screw it to
it. Oh my god.
Gorilla glue.
All right. Thanks, Keith. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks for trying to whip things into shape.
Thank you for being here, too.
We appreciate it.
I'd like to talk to all you one-on-ones one day if we get the opportunity.
Yep.
Sounds good.
If we ever see any of you, I'll see Ed, but Ed don't see nobody.
I seen you cutting that dust up there. What are you talking about?
I'll see you all.
All right, thanks, Keith. Alrighty. Next we have Mayor Council Action Items. Councilman Windsor?
Nothing at this time.
Councilman Sewell?
Nothing tonight.
Councilman Willoughby?
Nope.
Councilman Phillips?
It's almost 8:30, Christy.
No, right. And we're going into an executive session, so.
I'm not complaining. I don't really have anything either.
We just met last week and we just all ran up a bunch of stuff, so.
Yeah, the lights were the only thing.
There is a request for an executive session.
And I would like to add legal advice.
Okay, so can I have a motion that we go into an executive session for personnel and legal advice?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. All right, we're paused. The only people still in there are Lindsay and Rob, so...